ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕ್ಕೆ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ರಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾದ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕ್ಕೆ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕ್ಕೆ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕೆ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕೆ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕೆ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamin Hiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarini ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തഥോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവീണു കുണിതാദ്രദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാമുരായി മധുരീം നഃ കണികാവി കവിഗാവീം ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമഃ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീ ഗോപ്യ ഊചു വേഴ്സ് 31 ചാപ്റ്റർ 29 മൈവം വിഭോർഹതി ഭവാൻ ഗതിതം നൃശംസം സന്ധ്യഞ്ജ സർവവിഷയാം സ്തവപാദമൂലം ഭക്താഭജസ്വ ദുരവഗ്രഹമാത്യജാസ്മാൻ ദൈവോ യഥാ ആദിപുരുഷോ ഭജതേ മുമുക്ഷുൻ യൽപത്യമത്യ സുഹൃദാം അനുവൃത്തിരംഗം സ്ത്രീണാം സ്വധർമ്മൈതി ധർമ്മവിധാ ത്വയോക്തം അസ്ത്വേവമേതദുപദേശപദേ ത്വയേശേ പ്രേഷ്ടോ ഭവാം സ്തനുപ്രദാം കില ബന്ധുരാത്മാം കുർവന്തി ഹി ത്വയിരതിം കുശലസ്വമാത്മൻ നിത്യപ്രിയേ പതിസുതാധിപിരാർത്ഥിതൈക്കിം തന്ന പ്രസീദ പരമേശ്വരമാസ്മ ചിന്ത്യ ആശാമൃതം ത്വയി ചിരാദരവിന്ദ നേത്രാം ചിത്തം സുഖേന ഭവതാപഹൃതം ഗൃഹേഷു എന്നിർവിശത്യുതകരാവവിഗൃഹ്യകൃത്തേ ഗൃഹ്യകൃത്തേ പാദോപദം അചലന സ്തവപാദമൂലം ആദ്യാമക്കഥം പ്രജമധോ കരവാമകിം വാ സിഞ്ചാംഗമസ്തസ്ത്വതധര അധരാമൃതപൂരകേണ ഹാസാവലോകകലഗീതജഹൃച്ഛയാഗ്നിം നോ ചേദ്വയം വിരഹജാദ്യുപയുക്തദേഹ ധ്യാനേന യാമ പദയോ പദവീം സഖേതേ യർഹംബുജാക്ഷതവപാദതലം രമായ ദത്തക്ഷണം കുചിത് അരണ്യജനപ്രിയസ്യ അസ്പ്രാശ്മതൽപ്രഭൃതി നാന്യസമക്ഷമംഗം സ്ഥാതും ദയാഭിരമിതാ ബദ പാരയാമാം ശീര്യംബുദാംബുജരചക്രമേ തുളസ്യ ലബ്ധോഭിവക്ഷസി പദം കില വൃത്യജുഷ്ടം യസ്യാസുവീക്ഷണകൃതേനുസൃപ്രയാസസ്തദ്വ സദ്വദ്വയം ച തവ പാദരജ പ്രപന്നാഹം തന്ന പ്രസീദ വൃജിനാർദ്ദിനതേങ്ക്രി മൂലം പ്രാപ്താ വിസൃജ്യ വസതി സ്തുതൂസനാശ തൽസുന്ദര സ്മിത നിരീക്ഷണ തീവ്രകാമ തപ്താത്മനാം പുരുഷഭൂഷണ ദേഹിദാസ്യം സ So, yesterday, in this discussion with Krishna and the gopis, gopis have told Krishna that there is only one thing which is very dear to everybody, that is the soul. That is the soul, isn't it? So, Krishna mena vehitva almanam akhilalmanam. You will see this in the Brahmastuti. If you look into the 14th chapter, in the same 10th canto, you will see there what Lord Brahma had to say. Brahma says there that 14th chapter, in the 55th verse, he says there, Krishna me enam avehitvam, after Brahma also fell into that illusion of Krishna. And Brahma valsasthayam, what is known as valsasthayam, when Brahma tried to cover the calves and tried to test Krishna's authority. And you know that pastime where Krishna actually covered all the calves and took away from there, and Krishna himself expanded into various calves and cows. Afterwards, Brahma understood the situation, that Brahma come down and surrender to Krishna. At that time, Brahma says to him, Krishna enam avehitvam, in the 55th verse, in the 14th chapter, Krishna enam avehitvam, almanam akhila almanam, jagaddidaya sopyatra dehi va bhadimayayam. Brahma is saying to Krishna that know this one thing, he says, that this Krishna is the soul of everybody. Krishna is the soul of everybody. But for the benefit of this world, he is appeared here as a human form, in the human form. Jagaddidaya sopyatra dehi va bhadimayayam. Krishna menam avehitvam almanam akhila almanam jagaddidaya sopyatra dehi va bhadimayayam. So that is one. Brahmastuti is famous in the Bhagavadam. And there also Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned this, that for everyone the most dear thing is his own soul. Because what the gopis said, told Krishna, Nitya priye padisuda adibirati daikim, that real priyam or priti can only be towards the soul. Really towards the soul. Everything else is temporary preeti, anitya preeti, in other words. Nitya priye padisuda almadi artideikim. That is what that verse is indicating. Nitya priye, gopis are saying to Krishna, Nitya priyam is only possible, permanent priyam, permanent love is only for Krishna. Everything else is padisuda adibir artideikim. Everything else creates arti. Arti. It will create arti. So there the gopis have mentioned this to Krishna. And this priyam, how does that happen? That whenever we approach anyone, when we have contact with someone, what is happening is that our own soul's presence is acknowledging the presence of the soul in the other person. That is where that priti is developing, or priyam. Preeti or priyam is developing from that the soul inside us is acknowledging the presence of Krishna, presence of the soul in the other person also. Tanubradam preshtaha almanastu kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. Because of love for our own soul, because we have that priyam or love for the soul, or the soul itself by very nature itself full of bliss and full of knowledge, isn't it? That blissful aspect, which is bhakti. Satyam, satya chitta anandam, isn't it? Chitta aspect is the knowledge. Anandam aspect, sachidanandam means satya chitta anandam. Chitta aspect is the knowledge. Anandam aspect is the bhakti. Anandam aspect is the bhakti. Almanastu kamaya priyo bhavati. So like that, wherever we are feeling happiness, Krishna is, gopis are saying here, that inside us, whenever we feel happiness in anyone or towards any object in this world, it is coming from inside. It is coming from inside. Somewhere inside, the source of that priyam is hiding. The source of the priyam is hiding somewhere. That is why, that is the reason, as we spoke yesterday also, that even when part of the body is removed, whether it's hands or legs or anything, still you feel that you are still complete in your inside. Why? Because that soul inside, he is saying that I cannot be separated. I cannot be separated. So therefore, priyam is there in everyone, and we keep that priyam towards other living entities also. That's why Krishna says here that the source of all that priyam is hiding inside. That's why in the verse 33, Krishna, gopis are saying, Kurvandihi toiradim kushala asama alpan nitya priye padisuda adibirarti daikim tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindyal ashabradam toichida aravinda netram. Kurvandihi toiradim kushala asama alpan. So normally in our life, keeping some relationship with this world, just like husband or wife or children or the wealth, all these things, and we develop some attachment towards them and keep our priyam going with any one of them, and that creates priyam inside. But none of these objects in this world gives us permanent priyam in us. So one thing is that when you have priyam towards any of these things, family members or wealth or any of those things in this world, if they keep priyam there, you're always conscious that it is going to leave one day. So priyam is there when you have the priyam for towards them, but when they leave, there is distress also. Isn't it? There is distress also. So when you are closer to that, always there is a fear that there is any damage or problem going to happen to that object. And when something happens, just like family members, when they get sick, you are concerned about that. Isn't it? You are concerned about that. So you can see in priyam what all is involved. What all is involved. So much is hiding behind that priyam. Priyam one has for so many things outside in the world, but along with that, here gopis are saying, Nitya Priye Pati Sudadibir Arti Dehi Kim. At the same time, there is Arti also. Arti means here Dukkham or distress also in there. So Krishna also says here that earlier he mentions that anything that is outside the soul, anything that is separate from the soul, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, remember this, that in all of those objects, dukkha yoneha, they are all sources of distress. At one time or the other, they can become a source of distress. When the distress will come, you can never say, Krishna says. It is no harm in keeping priyam anywhere, whether it is children or whether it's wife or husband or all other members of the family, one can have the priyam. But what is the problem? The problem is this, along with that priyam, that the desire inside that it should stay forever. That is where the problem is. That the priyam, what one feels towards others, family members or relatives or friends or whatever it is, that priyam, there is nothing wrong. But if we inside desire that the priyam should remain permanent, it should stay all the time, that is where the problem starts. So when they leave us or when they go away, and either they leave us or we leave them, whichever way it happens, or if in their behavior or in the relationships, if they say something or if they do something which will cause distress to us, that is all what the gopis call it as arti. From there is a lot of problems will happen. So, and there will be a lot of endeavor to keep that prayam going at that time. Patisudadavir arti deikim. Gopis are saying to Krishna, you are telling us to go home and look after the husband and look after the children. How many lifetimes have we done this? Gopi says to Krishna. And by the result of all that, Gopi says to Krishna that all we had was always distress, all time. Permanently distress also. Continuously we have done this dharmam or padisugha adibir arti daikim. We served our husbands and the children for so many lifetimes. And the result of all that is we had always a lot of distress as well. So, does not mean that one should stop that that service there, but only thing is to remember that it is not permanent. It is not permanent, that's all. Nitya Priye, that's why gopis are saying Nitya Priye, addressing Krishna as Nitya Priye. Nityam or permanent relationship only with Krishna, only with Krishna. Holding on to this understanding that priyam is only towards Krishna, one should live in this world with priyam to every living entities. That is what the Shuka Brahma Rishi has to say to us. Keep holding on to this priyam towards Krishna. We should maintain priyam towards other living entities, knowing very well permanently that priyam is only for Krishna. All other priyam in this world is temporary. So, in other words, knowing very well that our priyam for other living entities in this world is only because knowing well that Krishna is present in their body also, then there is no danger. But if you start seeing their body and start developing priyam towards that, then one day it will break. So just by seeing a person's eyes or nose or color or hair or whatever it is, that will go away, including their knowledge, their intelligence, everything, it has to go one day. Because wherever you see this priyam in any object, without recognizing Krishna in that person, wherever some attachment or any priyam develops, eventually it will all develop in distress. That is what the gopis are saying here. On the other hand, if you see the Atma, Atma Vastu means Krishna in the other person, then even if that body goes away, that priyam will not be disturbed because you have acknowledged Krishna's presence in that person. Therefore, it will not cause any problem in later. Otherwise, it will become distress to everybody. So, that is what it says here. So, gopis are saying, husband, wife, children, there is arti in all of them. Arti means, the word arti, you will see this word arti in different places in the Bhagavad Gita also. Arto jityaso arthati, jnani cha varadar shabha, chaturvidha bhajande mam, jana sukrutino arjuna, arto jityaso arthati, jnani cha varadar shabha. That arthi, that is the same arthi here. Artho jityasur arthi. That arthi means, again, I want it, that desire behind it. So, because when one desires that a devotee who goes to Krishna and who begs from Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, they are addressed as artha bhakta, isn't it? Because he is desiring more. Therefore, endless desires, and that is called arthi. Greed, in other words. A kind of greed. That endless greed, in other words. That is arthi. So, similarly, here, the arthi is, arthi is that we have gone and developed priyam towards many objects or many other individuals in this world, and we desire that relationship or that priyam should remain permanent, which is not possible. Artim padisudha dibir arti deikim. Various kinds of desires, that there is problems at home, wife, problems with wife, problems with husband, children, and so many other many desires. To fulfill all those desires, and continuously desiring. This is our disease. This is a disease in us. That constant desiring one thing after the other and constantly asking Krishna to fulfill all those desires. Krishna has given a name for that. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, such people who keep coming and asking one thing after the other to fulfill their arti, that again want more, that kind of desires, such people, Krishna calls them as kamakami. Kamakami is the word Krishna has used there. If you look into the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse there, kamakami. Krishna addresses that word. Apuryamanama jalapradishtam. That is the two verses just before the second end of the second chapter. That kamakami is the one who has got this arti. If you look in the second chapter, 17, verse 17, yeah. Verse 17, apuryamanama jalapradishtam samudramabha pravadandiyadvad tatvad kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnodi na kamakami. See that word kamakami? Kamakami is the one Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita. Kamakami. He doesn't know that he had some desires, but normally what happens is he has some desire that's fulfilled, then he forgets that, then the next desire starts. And then again asks Krishna for something else. Abhuryamanam chala pradishtam samudramabha pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamanyam pravishandi sarve sashandim apnoti na kamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So that is that kamakami. So they are actually not Krishna's devotees. They're actually devotees of desires. Devotees of, that is what that word means. Kamakami means that they are devotees of the desires. So, and only thing is, Krishna is a person who has to fulfill that. So, arti will take us down. Arti will take us down and develops and take away the priyam that comes from inside. Priyam goes away, and the happiness that comes from priyam goes away when arti develops inside, or when one becomes a kamakami. One thing what you have to remember here is what Krishna has to say to us, gopis also have to say to us, is that don't go and hold on to anything in this world. Anything in this world. If you take shelter of anything in this world, all of them will one day leave us and go. That is why they are saying, Patisudha anvayabra, Patisudha, Patisudha adivir arti deikim. Don't send us back to the same status before, gopis are saying to Krishna. We have experienced this business in the family life with the husband, wife, children and all that. When we have understood that none of them is trustworthy, you cannot trust any of those things. Any relationship in this world, you cannot trust. That's what gopis are saying. Because by nobody's fault, that relationship, that priyam will not last very long. That's the way material nature works. So sensing this very well, when Krishna told the gopis to go back, gopis are saying to Krishna, don't send us back there anymore. Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindyal ashabradam toichidat aravindanetram. Aravindanetra means one who has got lotus eyes. And tanna prasida, please be pleased with us. How long we have been keeping this priyam towards you. No. So the gopis are saying, for such a long time we have kept this love for you or priyam towards you. That priyam not only gopis have, we also have the same priyam. But our priyam is towards our family, our children, our relations this way. And if you keep observing that, you will notice there that the source of all that priyam, what we feel towards others, is Krishna, is Krishna. The mistake is, all time, that priyam we are inquiring in different people and different objects, continuously inquiring for that priyam. And we are looking for the source and we are mistakenly thinking, falsely thinking that the priyam is coming from the different objects or persons in this world. So everybody in this world unknowingly is inquiring after Krishna. Unknowingly inquiring after Krishna. Because inquiring after the source of priyam means inquiring for Krishna. Only thing is, every time we inquire for priyam in someone, thinking that he is the source or she is the source, afterwards when it is broken, we leave that and we go and search somewhere else. This is the way we operate in this world. Our way of searching is like that. Gopis are saying they have searched all this and they have found out the source of the priyam is Krishna, and now they don't want to leave that source anymore. They don't want to go back to anywhere else looking for the priyam. We are also looking for the priyam. The mistake is, gopis have searched and found out that the source of the priyam is Krishna, and they have decided to go back to that source and keep that priyam with Krishna forever, not to any other persons in this world. In our case, we are also looking for priyam in one person or another person, but every time when we inquire about some time, that priyam goes away. It is interrupted by some reason. Something happens and the priyam is interrupted. And then we switch on to another source, to looking for the priyam there. So inquiring for that priyam is in everybody. In everyone is searching for that. But only thing is, gopis have come to the right place where they realize that priyam should only towards Krishna. Everywhere else is not, priyam is temporary. That is why they say, nitya priye, nitya priyam is Krishna. Patisada adibir artideikim. So most all of us are engaged in serving Krishna, but when you start realizing that the source of priyam is Krishna only, and then we start our spiritual activities, then you have come to spiritual life. Then you have come to spiritual life. Otherwise not. We are thinking that we also worship Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna, we go to the temple and we pay our obeisances, we engage in spiritual activities. But the difference between the gopis and us is, gopis have sensed that the source of this priyam is Krishna, not anybody else in this world. Whereas for us, that recognition hasn't happened yet. We are still thinking we are serving Krishna, but we are looking for the priyam elsewhere, not in Krishna. Therefore, what happens? Every time we develop some priyam somewhere, and that priyam breaks up, then we look for somewhere else, that breaks up. In this way, continuously from one place to another, our inquiry goes on. We still haven't come to the conclusion that the source of priyam is Krishna. And nitya priyam or permanent priyam is only possible towards Krishna. In gopis' case, they have come to the firm conclusion, nitya priye padisudha adibir artideikim, that nitya priyam is only towards Krishna, all others are arti. Pati sutam, that means husband and the children, all of them, pati sudadibi. Sudadibi means not only wife and children, all other persons also, including all relations, friends, everything, arti dekim, it will all create only arti. So that is where the difference is. So when we have Tanna prasida parameshwaram asma chindya ashambradam toichidat aravinda netra. That they are saying here that Krishna is saying to them, go back to the vrajam and execute bhakti at home. Why do have you come here? So, and continue with all your other activities in this world. If you are saying like that, gopis are giving the answer to that in the next few verses. Gopis are saying to the answer why they cannot go back. Krishna has told the gopis to go back. Gopis answer to Krishna why they cannot go back. Gopis are saying to Krishna that how shall we go back? First of all, we have to go back, isn't it? Gopi says to Krishna. And in order to do that, we have to think about all of those people who are present at home. That means the husband, the friend, the relations, the children, home, everything. We have to think about that. But for that, the mind is not agreeing. Mind is not agreeing for that. Then the next thing is the legs have to move towards the house. Then after going home, the hands have to start doing the work at home. All this is not possible in our present state of present state. Gopis are saying to Krishna, in our present state, because the mind which has to go back and which should engage us in our activities at home and which will keep us in the business, what we have to do at home, that mind you have already stolen. You have already taken that mind from us. That is what in the next 34th verse you will see. Chittam sukhena bhavata bakhradam griheshu yarnirvishatyudakaravabi grihya krityem padopadam nachala tavapadamulam dhyama katham brajamatho karavama kimba. Chittam sukhena bhavata bakhradam griheshu yarnirvishatyudakaravabi grihya krityem padopadam nachala tavapadamu uladhyama katham prajavadho karavama kimva. Then, up to this point, all these years, our mind was, without great difficulty, was engaged in the work at home, in running the home, in managing the family life. We were absorbed in that, and we had no difficulty at that time with the mind. But now that you have stolen that mind, and the hands which were busy in the work at home, that also you have taken away, and the legs are not willing to move one step to back home, towards go home. So what shall we do now? This is what the gopis are asking Krishna. Though you can see there that they are very firm and determined in their, they have got fixed up in that situation. So, association with Krishna, what has happened to gopis is they started experiencing the blissful nature of the soul. That bliss has started flowing in them. And therefore they are saying, it is not possible for us that happiness when it comes from the soul, when it is experienced, gopis are saying it's not possible for us to now to go back home because the mind is absorbed here in Krishna's association. It all happened due to satsangam with Krishna, isn't it? So normally our mind, you can see our own mind, if you look at our own mind, small things in this world, it is absorbed in many, and very difficult to break away from that, even with small things, attachment to small things, and finding it difficult to come out of it, Vamadeva says about this, that he says that I have tied many chains, and I tried to fly away from here. And I had two wings, one is Vivekam, discrimination, and the other one Vairagyam, renunciation. And every time I try to lift myself up, these chains which I have tied to different things in this world, they pull me down. So the thing is that the Rishi, Vamadeva, is saying there that because I have been trying with my intelligence, Vivekam, or discrimination and Vairagyam renunciation, I am trying to fly away from these connections with this world. But I have thousands of chains. I am tied everywhere. Right from the beginning, in the womb of the mother, it has started. Similarly, from then on, from thousands and thousands of objects in this world, it has taken our priyam from us and it has stolen us, and somehow or the other, I am not feeling any priyam towards satsangam. Vamadeva says, I am not experiencing any priyam towards the satsangam, or in chanting the holy name, or hearing about Krishna. That in these things, I am not experiencing any priyam. But I receive, I have the same, I have priyam towards so many other things in this world. From this you can understand that small things in this world is sufficient to take us away from the path, to take us away from the path. You can see this how very clearly you can see this sometimes. So sometimes people who have gone away to faraway places, they have still in their memory, they want to go back and visit some temples or holy places in places like Vrindavanam or Haridwar and places like that, they want to come back. They will put a lot of endeavor to come back to and they have in their desire also to come and visit the holy spots, Krishna's pastimes and places where Krishna has performed his various pastimes. But what happens? Well, they'll spend so much money and come all the way from America to Vrindavanam, and then what happens is they may have only a very short time period of time, 2 days, 3 days, perhaps sometimes a week, and this whole week they'll spend in shopping in Loi Bazaar, and they've bought some plastic material, something like that, and then they flew back all the way to America. So to buy that, you can see that little things in the shopping or in the Loi Bazaar has taken all their attention away. Instead of seeing the places where Krishna has performed the pastimes or to hear from the great devotees about Krishna consciousness, they never had time. They have come to Vrindavanam with the intention of developing spiritually, with the desire. But when they got there, they got attracted to something in the shops or somewhere in the market, and they went for shopping and spent a few days in shopping, and then they went back to America after that. So when you see this, you can see, when you such things you can observe in this world, that little things in this world we get attracted here. In other words, what it means is attraction towards Krishna is not sufficient. That's what it means. When the attraction for Krishna is not strong enough, at that time, attraction for smaller things becomes stronger. Tukaram says to Panduranga that when I chant the holy name, I am feeling sleepy, he says, and crying. He's crying like that, saying, when I chant the holy name, I'm feeling sleepy, and then he cries. So that is the only way all devotees have cried in front of Krishna, and they have spoken to Krishna in that way. So bhakti means that, isn't it? Bhakti means that that just like the magnet is attracting the iron filings, iron towards that, similarly when Krishna is attracting us towards him, that is called bhakti. That is how bhakti is to be understood. Just like in the Bhagavadam, Prahlad Maharaj also says the same thing. Just like a magnet is attracting iron filings towards that, when Krishna attracts us towards him in the same way, then it is called bhakti. Angolam nijabi shandadir ayaskandhobalam shuchika sadvi naijavibhu ledhachidiruham sindhu sarid vallabham prapnodi yatha tada pashupate padaravindadvayam chedo vrittirubete tishtadi sada sa bhaktirityuchyate. Bhakti's definition in Shivananda Lahari is like that. Angolam nijabi shandadir ayaskandhobalam suchikam, that automatically when one's mind is flowing, is getting attracted towards Krishna, and stick them there just like the angola tree. There is a tree called angolam, and the interesting nature of this tree is the fruits that falls from that tree
it goes back on the from the ground, it goes back and sticks to the stem of the tree. To the stem of the tree. Similarly, the iron needle is sticking to the magnet, or the devoted wife to her husband, or the creeper to the tree, or the river to the ocean. All these are examples of bhakti.
Angolam nija bija shandadir, ayaskandobalam sujika, sadhvi naija vibhu, leta chidiruham, sindhu sarid vallabham. Prapnodhayadha tada pashupade padaravindadvayam, chedo vitru betya tishtadi sada sa bhaktirityuchade.
So bhakti's definition is like that when attraction is strong towards Krishna's lotus feet, that is called bhakti. So that has to happen in a natural way, without our endeavor, without our effort. And if it goes like that, it becomes very easy. At the moment, we are putting a lot of effort to get attracted to Krishna, isn't it? We put a lot of effort. But if it happens in a natural way, towards Krishna, that attraction, then everything becomes very easy. So, when it's not going in a natural way, what should we do? We have to ask Krishna, pray to Krishna, to somehow get ourselves attracted to Krishna. So long as Krishna is attracting us in that way, it says here that even if I want to go away from Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna should not leave us. This is the prayer. Like Rukmini prayed to Krishna, isn't it? Rukmini's prayers was like that. So even if I may get attracted to any objects in this world, and if I get approached, develop my priyam towards any other objects in this world, devotee is saying to Krishna, you should take care of that, and you should take me away from those objects and pull me back towards you. And that is how the devotees have prayed to Krishna. Somehow or the other, you should pull me back to your lotus feet. One devotee has prayed like that. So he put it in a very nice way. He says to Krishna that whenever I come and I approach towards you for your association, and you should open your right eye. You should open your right eye. And when I am situated at your lotus feet, you should close your right eye and open the left eye. It says, open the left eye. Because why it said like that? It is in the poetic language. The devotee is a poet, so he explains it like this. The right eye of Krishna is the sun. The left eye is the moon. When I come to you, if you open your right eye, your lotus feet, which is like a lotus flower, it opens. When the sun comes, the lotus flower opens. I will come and pay my respects to you and surrender to you at your lotus feet. At that time, you should close your right eye. There should not be any more sunshine. And then you should open your left eye, the moon. When you open your left eye, what will happen? The lotus flower will close. When it closes, I will get stuck inside at your lotus feet. This is a devotee's prayer to Krishna. In a poetic way, he is saying to Krishna. He is saying that Krishna's right eye is the sun, the left eye is the moon. And Krishna's lotus feet is like a lotus flower. Because I am going away from here, if I come to you, again I get attracted to the world and goes away. Instead, if I come there, open your right eye, the lotus flower should open. I will put my head inside and surrender to you there. And at that time, close your right eye, there will be no more sunshine. And open the left eye, when the moon comes out, the lotus flower closes, and I'll be stuck inside that lotus flower at your lotus feet. So this way devotees have prayed to Krishna. So initially, till the mind get attracted to Krishna, we have to do it in a forceful way it has to be done. So there is no other way. Till we get that attraction towards Krishna, we have to do it in a forceful way. So that is why even chanting the holy name, that suppose if we tell only when I get attracted I will start chanting, it is never going to happen, isn't it? Only when I get attracted I will start chanting. So just it is like this, that only when the waves stop in the sea, then I will start bathing in the sea. That is never going to happen. Similar to that, first we have to chant the holy name forcefully. We have to chant the holy name every day, which is called as Nishta, isn't it? Which is called Nishta. So, and because after eating this poison of sense gratification, keep on eating it for so many years and so many lifetimes, we have, our mind has surrendered to that poison. Mind has got used to that poison. And when you give the medicine now, the mind doesn't like it. It still wants the poison only. So therefore, just like somebody is poisoned, you give the medicine to him. In the same way, this chanting the holy name is like the medicine. It has to be given. Forcefully, it has to be given. And continuously chanting the holy name, when the chittam or inside the subtle body gets purified, at that time you will develop some taste for chanting. After that, even if you want to give it up, it will not be possible to. That holy name won't leave you. Even if you want to leave the holy name afterwards, the holy name won't leave you. That is what all the great devotees say. That is the necessity to chant the holy name. So initially, a little bit of tapasya, austerity is necessary. And if we want that, like gopis had the attraction for Krishna in the first instance itself, and if we desire that to happen, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Because we have to approach the proper way, like the Mahatmas have given the medicine, the chanting the holy name. We have to chant, and through that chanting the holy name, attraction will develop. And one day, as it's just like a medicine. When we have a disease, the medicine is the only way. There is no other way. The medicine has to be given. And after taking the medicine, when you feel healthy, you will feel that this medicine is nice, it's helping. So that holy name will not leave us at that point. That is what the Bhagavatam is saying to us, that the gopis have got attracted to Krishna in the first instance. Why the same attraction is not happening to me? Like the way gopis have got attracted to Krishna, why is not happening to me? In that situation, you have to discuss that with Krishna. If necessary, you have to express your unhappiness with Krishna on these things. Many, many devotees have spoken with Krishna all the time. If you look into the life of so many devotees, you will notice that they have spoken to Krishna their problems of this life when they were not getting attraction towards Krishna. Purandaradas told Krishna like this. Purandaradas was a famous singer. Purandaradas says he was a famous devotee and a singer as well. He says to Krishna, how come that I am chanting and I am 24 hours absorbed in thinking about you and singing your glories, your holy name, and engaged in kirtanam, but you are not showing any sign of recognition? Why is it like this? He said, because I am not Ajamila's brother. He says, Ajamila, you have shown. He has only chanted the holy name once, and he absorbed in so many bad things. Still, there is no sign of any kripa, mercy coming from you. Like this, Purandarada sang. Purandarada says that Ajamila's brother, that I can't have anything. Just like the way you have shown compassion for him, or am I like Vibhishana? Vibhishana, you have shown mercy to him. Why not towards me? This is Purandarada's question to him. Why me alone you are rejecting? What is the reason? They asked Krishna. The devotees like that, they have always spoken to Krishna. All the devotees, if you look, Tukaram, Namadev, Ekanath, all of them, all the great Tyagaraj, many others like that, they had a conversation with Krishna. It is quite natural that they say to him that we can't understand you. You have caught hold of all these demons and you are keeping them with you. Why me alone? I'm wandering around in this world. Why is it like this? They are asking. Tell us why. So, Krishna, you have to pester him sometimes, otherwise you won't get any reply from there. So he says to him, that do you not feel ashamed that this is happening in your administration? They say to Krishna that you have made contact with all these demons because they have done something So you have gone and killed them and kept them with you. Never allow them to go back. They are allowed to have your association with them. But me, 24 hours I have prayed to you, glorified you, and spent all my life in trying to please you. But to me, why this indifference? They were asking like this. So when one starts talking to Krishna like that, that is necessary in the case of a devotee. Bhakti means all this. Bhakti is not a big science as such. Bhakti is the feeling of a person towards Krishna. So talking alone to Krishna. So sometimes in the past, if you have spoken alone something like that, people may say, you are gone a little bit off. Why are you talking like that? But now it is not like that. Reason is, because you can see sometimes in the street with the mobile phones, people are just talking and walking. Nobody says anything. Is it not? Nobody says anything. We don't take it unusual. We know from the... If you don't know anything about mobile phones, if he is walking, you'll think what has happened to him. But now everywhere you see, people are talking everywhere. So why not talk to Krishna? That is the devotee's approach. Instead of talking and so talking is necessary. In bhakti, talking is important. So now you will see that while walking, sometimes in the tube, in the train, in motorbike, in the car, everywhere people are talking and they are not looking at you, they are talking to somebody. So similarly, you can take it, you can talk to Krishna. If anybody asks, if you want, you can hold a mobile phone, that thing like that, and keep talking like that. Nobody will say anything at that time. So so that's why I say samvadam. That is called samvadam. So first we have to talk. Krishna won't talk first. We have to talk. So long as we are in the vaikari stage. Vaikari means... So vaikari means... The sound has got four stages, isn't it? Para, Pashandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. Vaikari means we keep talking about it. Till then we cannot hear Krishna's flute. So Vaikari Mandalam. Mandalam means in the field of Vaikari stage. So if we want to hear the sound of the flute, it is not possible. But when through this Vaikari sound, when it gets purified, when Chittashuddhi happens inside, then it will slowly start going towards Pashyandi, Madhyama, and eventually to Para stage. That is the way the sound operates within the body, isn't it? So initially, we have to talk. We have to talk. Later on, when Krishna starts talking, we will shut our mouth. We won't open anymore after that. So till Krishna starts talking, we have to keep on talking to Krishna. And that is what gopis are showing to us. What should we say to gopi? What should we say to Krishna? And how we should talk to Krishna? And that's all the gopis are teaching us in this. So if we look at the 34th verse, Chittam sukhena bhavatabhakritam griheshu So, these hands are meant for doing work at home, but these hands are not listening to me anymore. Similarly, these hands has only interest in doing something for you. It has no other interest. And the tongue is only interested in talking about you, chanting the holy name. It has no other interest. And the legs are saying to me that it doesn't want to go away from your presence, sannidhi. So only if the legs are willing to move, we can go back to our home in Vrajam, in Vrindavanam. So how shall we go when the legs are not listening? Like this, gopis are talking all sorts of things to Krishna. And when Krishna is hearing all these things, so so he says here that there's a verse there that dhyamap katham rajamatho karavama kim vam. In the next verse he says that sinjangasastoda adharamrda puragena hasavaloka kalagida jahurchaya agnim నో చేద్వయం విరహజాత్ ఉపయుక్త దేహం ధ్యానేన యామ పదయో పదవీ సఖేతే పదవీ సఖేతే దట్ సింజంగస్త్ అధరామృత పూరగేణ హాసావలోక కలగీత జహృచ్ఛయాగ్నిం నో చేద్వయం విరహజాదుపయుక్త దేహ ధ్యానేన యామ పదయో పదవీం సఖేతే దట్ How we will go back, they are asking, gopis are saying to Krishna, Yamaha katham. You will see that Dhyanena yama padayo padavim saketem. That this presence, in Krishna's presence we have come, gopi says to Krishna, that we are unable to go away from there. Because inside, sinjanganas nastvada adharamrita puragena hasavaloga kalagida jayagni. inside us, gopis are saying to Krishna that the fire of separation is burning inside us. We are unable to go back. And not only that, you can see that Krishna is always with us as Antaryami, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you will see different words used for that. The actual word is Antaryami. Antaryami means who is always with you in all circumstances, day in, day out. Wherever you go, he is with us, isn't it? So that is Antaryami. In the Prachina Brahmi story, Puranjano Vakhyanam, that Antaryami, he is addressed as Avijñāta Sakhāva. That is an interesting word. Avijñāta Sakhāva means your friend, who keeps going with you, but you don't know about it. Without your knowledge, he is going with you everywhere. And that's why he is called Avijñāta Sakhāva. So, somehow or the other, some relationship has to be there with Krishna. Krishna as a child, or in the Madhurya Bhavam, or Sakhya Bhavam. But here, what you find in this is, Sinjanganast Adharamrita Puragena. This is Madhurya Bhavam of the gopis. Gopis' relationship was like that. Madhurya Bhavam, isn't it? Shringaram or conjugal love. That is what it is. They are saying to Krishna that because we have tasted that saliva from your mouth and it has filled inside so much, it has created a fire inside now. And if you speak about that in the more mundane level, mundane language, you can say that is the lust inside that has come for us. So gopis are saying like that. When gopis are saying all these things, a mundane person, his mind will very quickly go like a materialist. And his eyes will go in that way. His thoughts will go in that direction. But here, what we have to know, that what is this fire gopis are talking about? Gopis are saying that fire that is burning now inside is the desire to come back and join Krishna, and to go back to Krishna. And because they have not forgotten Krishna, tanna prasida parameshwaram. You have to remember how in this verse Sinjanganast Adharamrita Puragena Hasavaloka Kalagida Jahrchayagni. Gopis are saying, because we have relished that nectar from Krishna's mouth, and when that has gone in, our desire for you has come back in strong way. More like a lusty feeling in them, kamam, lusty feeling, or the conjugal relationship desires they had towards Krishna. And they call it as a fire inside. In a mundane person's attitude, he will think that gopis have a lusty relationship with Krishna. But if you look two verses before, what did gopi say to Krishna? Gopis are saying to Krishna, tanna prasidam parameshwara. The Supreme Person, Absolute Truth, Parameshwara, addressing Krishna like that. Masma Chindyal Ashabradam Toichirat Aravinda Netra. That there they know very well with whom they have this relationship. It is not on a mundane level. Gopis have, that is why in that verse already Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned there, Tonna Prasida Parameshwara Masma Chindyal Ashabradam Tanup Toichirat Aravinda Netra. That first of all, they recognized who is Krishna. And then what did they say? Parameshwara. Parameshwara means Supreme Person, Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, recognizing Krishna's position, gopis are saying to him that due to our association with you, our lusty desires have gone very strong towards you. But a mundane person will misunderstand that this is an ordinary mundane love affair. No, it is not. Why? Because now this relationship what the gopis are, or the feeling what the gopis have, is towards Krishna, the absolute supreme personality. So therefore, so just like a woman has a strong attachment for a man, similarly, similar attachment if he develops towards Krishna, so one has to, if such a attachment develops inside towards Krishna, you have to approach Krishna with that attachment. That is the way it is. And it is a very, very high level of bhakti, very higher state of bhakti. Only difference is gopya kamad, gopis and kamam towards Krishna. Similar intensity of kamam, what gopis have felt for Krishna, similar intensity of fear Kamsa has felt for Krishna, isn't it? If you study Bhagavatam, you will see how Kamsa spent his time. Ashinam Paitanastishtan, wherever he sat, he was always looking for Krishna. Is Krishna there? While he was sitting on his sofa set in the palace, while walking, he looked back, is anybody behind me? Is Krishna following me? So constantly absorbed in Krishna. Kamsa has achieved that through fear. Gopis have achieved that through lust. Through lust. So gopya kamal bhayal kamsa. Equally bad was Shishubala. Shishubala's intensity of hate for Krishna, that was so strong. Krishna says, you also come back to the spiritual world. So here you can see that many, many devotees have spoken, acted like this, in this way. In this way. This gopi's relationship with Krishna is based on that lust. But the difference is, the lust what they felt is towards Krishna and not towards anyone else. So therefore, it is not a mundane thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relationship with Krishna was like that, isn't it? Which you know. If you read Chaitanya Charitamritam, you will see that Mahaprabhu's relationship with Krishna was in the gopi bhava, isn't it? Gopi bhava. So many, many devotees, you will see throughout the history, they have felt a relationship with Krishna or to the deity they have worshipped in a similar way. In a similar way. So where did this fire develop in their heart in that way? The moment they started hearing the sound of the flute, they are saying that this thing started burning inside in them, in the gopi's heart. It started burning inside. So for many, many devotees, you will notice this. In gopi's case, it was, what happened was, the sound of the flute has triggered off that burning fire inside. In many, many other great devotees, the holy name has created that fire inside. Holy name has created inside. As soon as they hear the holy name, immediately it starts burning inside. They have to go back to Krishna. They have to go back to Krishna. So this is known as anubhuti. And till they reach Krishna, that burning will not stop inside. The burning will not stop inside. All the great devotees, if you look, you will see this thing has happened. So, so normally, ordinary person, when he this stage of virahagni means the separation, fire of separation, when it develops inside, normally what happens is mumukshutva is very strong. a jiva, a living entity or a conditioned soul, when its desire for liberation becomes very intense inside, at that time when he hears about Krishna, then the Lord Buddha says the message of liberation will go into his ears immediately. It will develop inside very strong, in other words. Otherwise, if you talk to a person about liberation and all, it will be purely academic level or on an intellectual platform, it will remain. But on the other hand, Buddha is saying this, that as much as the jiva or conditioned soul, when it develops that intense desire for liberation in this world, at that time, if we hear about the truth, Shravanam happens to him, at that point, this message of liberation will touch him very quickly and his mood will change. His mood will change. So, here the difference is this. In the bhakti process, it is hearing and chanting the holy name. In the jnanam process, it's hearing the Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam means the conclusions of the famous Upanishads. So, once the living entity or the jiva, once it realizes that nirvanam or the release is possible. When it realizes the release is possible, then the jiva, the soul, cannot stay quiet anymore. It cannot stay quiet anymore because this burning will start inside. And he will start inquiring everywhere what he should do. That's the way spiritual life is. That once we recognize that there is a way to exit from here and there is a possibility of that happening, and once we get convinced, at that point the inquiry will become very strong and he will not be able to stay quiet anymore. Inquiry will begin. And in the Panchadashi, I think the way it is explained is that you will be running around all over the world as though your head is on fire. Pradipta shiraha, that's what it says. Pradipta shiraha means, shirasa means head, as though you have got fire in your head. What do you mean? It means that immediately you are looking for water somewhere to extinguish that fire in the head. So satyanyoshnam or inquiry for the truth is like that. So so those who have got the samskaram or those who have got the devotional culture, they will become devotees. Those who have got the jnanam culture, they will become jnanis. And those who have got the yoga culture, they will become the yogis. That's how it is. Once who have got the devotional culture, they will become devotees. Those who have got the jnana culture, or the process of knowledge, that process and that culture in a person, jnana sadhana, in other words, those who have got jnana samskaram, those who have got that, they will become jnanis and their inquiry will follow in that route. And those who have got yoga samskaram, they will cry for yoga anubhavam, yogic experiences. So, according to one's own samskaram, their own bhavam, their mood also will change. See, but what you have to remember is, in all these three categories, their inquiry, process of inquiry, and their mood also, and the intensity is the same in everyone. Whether you are following through the yoga process or jnanam process or the bhakti process, in all three of them, when this fire burns inside, the intensity is the same. So, because as soon as they heard that there is a possibility of escaping from this cycle of birth and death, no more coming back and accepting another material body and suffering in this world, but that message has to get in first. When the message gets in and the inquiry begins, and then it's a non-stop, non-stoppable, it goes. Nobody can stop that person at that time. At that point, if you observe, you will see a person who has got the bhakti culture inside, he'll become a devotee. Those who have got the jnana samskaram or the process of knowledge that culture, he will become a jnani. And those who have got the yoga culture, who is attached to the Ashtanga Yoga process, or who has practiced that in previous life for some reason, whatever it is, if he has got that samskaram in him, then his inquiry will go for looking for yoga in home or yoga experiences like that. That is how it happens. So, they pray to them, show the devotees pray to Krishna, show me that mercy, that before this fire burns me out completely. Because once the fire starts inside for liberation, to escape from here, to come out of this material life once for all attractions for the world is gone away, and have realized that it is possible to come out of these three modes of material nature. It is possible to escape from the three types of material distress. Only thing is, we have to get ourselves experience that convince ourselves. We have to get convinced that there is an escape route from here. Only then after that, it will be that person is on fire. Then he's on fire. You can't stop him at that point. The intensity will be so strong. But all this shastram, satsangam is and all, is only to help the person to recognize that there is a way to go. There's a way to escape from here. So, you remember Suryadas. Suryadas' story is very interesting in this. Suryadas was a famous devotee, isn't it? He was blind. He was always blind. So, always he had his tamburu, the veena, in the hand. And he used to chant the holy name, and he used to sing many, many, many songs, very beautiful songs. Suryadas has sung about Krishna. So once he was living in one place, and many other devotees joined him, and Krishna has also given Suryadas a particular siddhi. A siddhi was given to him, because if you say to Suryadas that something has gone missing, Suryadas will tell you where you go. You should go and search for that. You will find it. It was a siddhi Suryadas had all the time. So somebody comes to Suryadas and says, my cow has gone grazing. I can't find the cow anywhere. Suryadas will tell him, go and look for the cow at such and such a place. You will find the cow. So this used to happen with Suryadas. So devotees who are with Suryadas' devotion is unparalleled, isn't it? He was a great, great devotee. Used to sing about Krishna all the time, but he was blind. He couldn't see anything in this world. In that blindness, he was singing about Krishna. And Krishna used to come and sit in front of him, listening to those songs. Suryadas was not aware that Krishna was sitting right in front of him. Krishna was enjoying the beautiful songs Suryadas has compiled and sung about Krishna. So, once it so happened, some devotees, they joined or got together, and they built a ashram for Suryadas to stay. Suryadas was wandering around all over. They felt the necessity to look after Suryadas. And Suryadas was a great personality whose association all the devotees liked. So they built this ashram, and the devotees built this ashram. Suryadas was staying in the ashram. He stayed there for some time, but continuously Suryadas was feeling restless from there. And one day, Suryadas started hearing about the sound of flute, Krishna's flute. At the same time, he cannot go away from there. And inside, the fire is burning. So at that time, Suryadas was saying there that, Suryadas is saying that I am unable to move from here, although the fire is burning inside. So like the gopi saying here, in that verse you can see, Sinjanganastad adharamrda puragena hasavaloga kalagida jaharchaya agnim no chedvayam virahajad ubayukta deha dhyanena yama padayo padavim sakhete. Padavim sakhete. So here, that the Suryadas point was that the Suryadas was so attached to Krishna that Suryadas could not stay in that situation very, very long. And Suryadas wanted to leave that place and wanted to go away from there. So because inside, somewhere, he started experiencing the sound of the flute. And in the middle of the night, Suryadas walked out from there. walked out from there. And nobody was with him and he was blind and it was very pitch dark. And at that time, from whichever direction, the sound of the flute he has heard, he started walking in that direction. Although he could not see himself, as Krishna was taking him, as though Krishna was holding his hand. And he has gone like this, right up to the temple of Srinathji. That is where his journey ended. Suridas' journey ended at the temple of Srinathji. So you can see here that when that sound of the flute comes, when the sound of the flute comes means that there is no more material existence after that. The devotee has decided now that is it. No more connection with this world. Just in the case of Suridas, he wandered away and left and he never came back after that. So, so many great devotees have spoken about this. They are, all great devotees are waiting for the sound of the flute. Sound of the flute. So, in one place, one personality says, the sound, he always, Krishna is playing his flute, but we have put off the receiver. We have put off the receiver. The sound of the flute is always there. He calls, but we are unable to receive the sound of the flute because receiver is switched off. We are unable to hear that. That is that word, kalau jagam vamadrisham manoharam. You remember in the third verse, what the third or fourth verse? What did he say? That in the third verse. Drishtva kumudvandam akhandamandalam ramananabham navakungumarunam vanam jatal komala gobiranjidam jagaukalam vamadrisham manoharam jagaukalam vamadrisham manoharam kalam kalam. That kalam is that the sound of the flute. So in the that we are unable to hear jagaukalam vamadrisham manoharam. You will see this, that all devotees could not hear that sound of the flute. Only those gopis whom Krishna wanted them to hear, only they heard the flute. Krishna stopped the sound of the flute, for many others did not hear. Many others did not hear the sound of the flute. Krishna had that yoga siddhi, yogeshwara, isn't it? He could control the sound in such a way. The sound of the flute did not go to everybody. Only those whom Krishna wanted to hear, they alone heard. They alone heard the sound of the flute. They alone heard the sound of the flute. Nobody else could hear the sound of the flute. So, jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam. So it says here. So, so this sound that madhuram, vamadrisham manoharam aspudam, and it has not any spudam, or in other words, it is sweet but it is not spudam. Spudam means it doesn't have that like the in the vaikari sound. When we speak, it is clear, isn't it? We have conveyed some message through that. But spudam means that through that it's not getting the message, it's getting conveyed, but not in the same way like in the vaikari sound. So there is no particular language or anything like that. The beautiful sound itself is able to convey the message. Convey the message. In the same thing, that is how it is. The sound of the flute is like that. That in the yoga language, if you say, they will say anahada dhvani. Anahatam. Anahata dvani it is called in the yoga bhasha, in the language of the yogis, it is called anahata dvani. And in the language of the devotees, it is called ajapa japam. For example, great personalities like Yaneshwar or personalities like Namadev who have chanted the holy name and became perfect in that, they talk about this, what is known as ajabajabam. Ajabajabam means, by chanting the holy name, after a long period of time, and due to their state of purification inside, even though they stop chanting, the chanting continues inside without their knowledge. That is called Ajapajapam. They have stopped Japam, but Japam is continuing inside. Ajapajapam it is called. So that stage has happened to them. Jnaneshwar says about this, that he says, externally he doesn't have a chanting beats or anything, and he is sitting there quietly, even the lips are not moving, but inside he says the chanting is still going on. Jnaneshwar says this. I am not chanting, he says, but I can hear the chanting that is going on inside. That is not that known as anahata dhvani in the yoga bhasha. Ajaba japam in the devotee's language. In the Srimad Bhagavatam here, what Krishna is this mentioned, jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam, that the sound of the flute is like that. The sound of the flute is like that. So here, if you hear the sound, then you are intoxicated with that. You are intoxicated with that. So by hearing the sound of the flute or by hearing the chanting of the holy name, you forget everything. You forget everything. As soon as you hear the holy name, you are immediately carried away by that. And then what happens? That gopis are saying here that because of that, that the sound, jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam, that we have this fire started burning inside. This fire for attachment for Krishna has started burning inside. Not only that, it says there, hasavaloga kalagida jahirchayagnim. So, you see that word? Hasavaloga kalagida jahirchayagnim. Now, suppose we think, gopis are saying, we will forget about Krishna and we want to go away from here. He says it's not possible. Even if you want to forget him, if he decide that not to think about Krishna, what happens? Hasa avalokam. Immediately Krishna smiles. And when Krishna smiles, then we have fallen back into the same situation again. And complete experience of that, and you are taking us back towards you in this way. If you don't know chedvaha, if you don't take no chedvayam virahajad vayukta deha dhyanena yama padayo padavim sakete. Suppose if you don't take us, if you don't accept us now, gopis are saying to Krishna, that this fire inside us will keep burning, will keep burning. Just like they mentioned that before also, isn't it? Dussaha preshta viraha tivrata badutha ashubha, in the 10th verse. You will see earlier in the 10th verse. Dussaha preshta viraha tivrata badutha ashubha. So, only when that fire burns inside, bhakti, you can say, bhakti is developed, is there in the heart. So, we have to say to Krishna, like the way gopis have spoken to Krishna, we should, devotee has nothing else to offer to Krishna. Devotee is not following any other process. Devotee case is, devotee has to talk to Krishna, all his problems. Tyagaraja used to speak about all his problems in this life as well as about spiritual topics, everything. Continuous discussion with Krishna, that is what devotee does. So, they are saying here that no chedvayam viraha jag upayukta deha. Suppose you do not accept us now, we will tell you what is going to happen to us. Viraha jag upayukta deha dhyanena yama. We will simply think about you in this separated state, in this separation, and that fire will start burning and burning, and this body will be burned into ashes in that fire. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. Gopis said this to Krishna, that in that fire of separation, virahajad upayukta deha dhyanena yama, our meditation will become so intense that because of that separation, the meditation will become so intense, and in that fire which is burning inside, it will burn to such a force, powerful force, that we will be burnt into ashes in that. Gopis has frightened Krishna like that. First gopis have spoken, and then now gopis are saying and actually threatening Krishna, that if you don't accept us now, that is what is going to happen. And do you know anybody who has got burned like that body? If you look into the fourth canto, Sri Parvati burned her body like that, isn't it? Sati Devi. Sati Devi in the Dakshayagam before that, in the Dakshayagam, that fourth canto, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Sati Devi went for to you know that the Daksha famous sacrifice. Daksha offended Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva and Sati Devi in Kailasam. Shiva told Sri Parvati, Sati Devi not to go for Daksha's sacrifice. In spite of that, Sati Devi went for the sacrifice. Daksha was not in a happy terms with Lord Shiva. Daksha did not invite Lord Shiva, and they got so upset about that. So Sati Devi, Sati Devi tried to reason out with Daksha about Lord Shiva's position. How badly he is offending Lord Shiva. How badly he has offended Lord Shiva. And Daksha will not listen to anything. Daksha will not listen to anything. It was then that Sati Devi decided to give up her body. And after giving sufficient warning to Daksha, Sati Devi sat there and continued her yoga practice of meditation. She was a perfect yogi. In that meditation process, the fire started coming from the top of the head, and in that whole body got completely burned, into ashes. And that was the the most tragic thing what happened in that sacrifice. Sati Devi gave up her body. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when that topic is discussed, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that Sati Devi, when Sati Devi had to give up that body, in Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that everyone was concerned about Daksha. Lord Shiva got so upset. Shiva invited everybody, and suddenly, if you see the words used in the Bhagavatam, very, very strong words, that he pulled out one of his jada from the head and smashed it on the floor, and immediately on that occasion, Virabhadra came from there, isn't it? And what should I do? He asked Shiva. Shiva instructed him, go and destroy the whole sacrifice of Daksha. You will see that in the fourth canto, isn't it? If you study the fourth canto, the story of Daksha Prajapati's story there, first six chapters. Sati Devi mentions there that in the fourth canto you will see Sati Devi is saying to Daksha. Sati Devi's words you should take notice of. He says, Yadvaksharam namagireridam nrunam sadal prasangat akhamashuhandidal pavitra kirtim tamalankhya shasanam bhavanaho dveshti shivam shivedara. Sati Devi is saying to Daksha, Yadvaksharam namagireridam nrunam. These two letters, Shiva, whose two letters, Sagal Prasangad Akama Shuhandidal, simply by chanting those two letters, one's all sinful reactions gets destroyed. Pavitra Girtim Tamalankhya Shasanam, that because of these two letters alone, one whose glories is spread all over the creation, Pavitra Girtim, and whose instructions or words you cannot stand, go against them. Tam alankhya shasanam, pavitra girtim tam alankhya shasanam bhavanaho dveshti shivam shivetara. It is towards him that you are showing your anger. Look at your stupidity. Sati Devi is saying to her father, isn't it? Sri Parvati, Sati Devi said this to whom? To Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati did not take notice of her. And ultimately, when Sati Devi sensed that Daksha is not going to change her position, she sat there, and in the fire of that agni, anger, what Sati Devi experienced there, out of the yoga power, she created the fire and burned her body into ashes on her own. This is what she has done. And here, gopis are saying to Krishna, that is what will happen here. If you throw us out from here, if you don't take care of us, take notice of us. So So here you can see that later on, you know what happened. Sati Devi gave up her body and born again as Himavan's daughter, Himavati she became. And here gopis are saying, just like her, Dhyanena Yama, Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Sakete, Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Sakete. Addressing Krishna is Sakhe, they are saying there that Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Sakete, Ye Noche Dvayam Virahajat Ubayukta Deha. Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Sakete. Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Sakete. We will get there eventually. He says, the gopis are saying to Krishna, we will get there. You won't be able to stop us. So Krishna has no choice now. They have given such a strong warning to Krishna. Akhandananda Swamiji says about this, like that they actually threatened and frightened Krishna by their words. Because meditation is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Meditation is a powerful thing. So because they are saying there, only difference will be that we won't take birth again like Sri Parvati. Sati Devi came back as Parvati, isn't it? Sri Parvati, next life was Sri Parvati. We won't come like her back again. There is another danger here. What is that? Krishna says that, Yam yam vabis maran bhavam tyajatyande kalayaparam. Tam tam evedi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. In other words, that if whatever you remember at the time of death, whatever memory you have at the time of death, and if you leave your body in the thoughts of, in those thoughts, tam tam evedi kaundeya, you will get your body in that form next time, in the next life, isn't it? Next life you will get that body. So here, there were hundreds of gopis there, isn't it? Shata Yuthaba, it says. So hundreds of gopis are there. Gopis are saying that we will meditate on Krishna's form and remembering you, we will give up this body. We will give up this body. But, but because we have this intense desire in us to join you and you have also attracted towards us, you will have to, if we give up our body and you will think about us and you may have to take birth as a gopi in the next life. They are frightening Krishna in this way. This is very dangerous because you may have to come back as a gopi and therefore they are saying, Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Saketem. That their answer to Krishna is that we will think about you and we will give up this body. And what will happen to us? We will all become like you. We will get Krishna's body. Gopis are saying to Krishna, we'll get your body. And you had that relationship with us and you wanted to associate with us. Therefore, you will have to come here as a gopi and we will all become Krishna. Gopis are saying like this to Krishna. This is from Akhandananda Swamiji's statement in Vrindavanam. He says like this. So, Sinjangamas Tadharamrita Puragena Hasavaloga Kalakir Jakarchayagnim No Chedvayam Virahajad Ubayukta Deha Dhyanena Yama Padayo Padavim Saketem. Then, Yerhyambujanchato Padatalam Ramaya Dattakshanam Kujit Aranya Janaprayasya Asprashma Tad Prabhudinanya Samachamangam Stadundayabhiramida Vadaparayama. So, they are saying to Krishna, gopis are saying to Krishna that you are telling us to go home, go and stay with your husband. And gopis' answer to that is, we are not interested anymore in this body. That's not anymore our concern. Because through this body, we have engaged in so many lifetimes. And we have tried to enjoy this life through this body. And we have suffered many, many lifetimes due to that. That's why it says here, Yerahyambujachatama padadalam ramaya. That Lakshmi Devi, who is present at your lotus feet, she is satisfied there. She doesn't want to move from there. And similarly, we also have, that we have come to your lotus feet. We have no desire to go away from here. So, na anya sangha. That Yerahyambujachatama padadalam Padadalam Ramaya Dattakshanam. We don't want any other association with anybody anymore in this world. Saying this, Aranya Janapriyasya, that the Gopis are saying, who likes it in that way? Aranya Janapriyasya. Gopis are giving example of the devotees and their bhava or mood, how that is. Aranya Janapriyasya, they say here, isn't it? Dattakshanam kochid aranya janapriyasya. Aranya janapriyasya means those who are living in the forest. Those who are living in the forest. In other words, referring to the sages. Sarvasanga Vaityagi, all they have given up all their attachment. Sages, they have come, who have given up their all their material activities completely. Material activities completely. They are called aranya janapriyasya. Munis or sages. They have no material activities anymore, isn't it? Such people, they like it, that na anya sangaha. So, and who likes the Krishna's lotus feet at that time, we also like to be in that way. Another meaning is that there is no battle anywhere inside us. In other words, there is no conflict, and or those who don't have any enmity or inimical feeling towards anybody else. So yogis like that, yogis who are living in the forest, isn't it? So, Bhagavad Dhyana Talpara, that means yogis who are attracted to Krishna, Sarvasanga Parityagi, those who have given up all attachment towards this world, and who have developed a taste for Krishna's lotus feet. And they are mentioning here in this verse that Ladhvabi Shri Ryalpadam Bujagaras Chakame Tulasya Ladhvabi Vakshasi Padam Kala Vritya Jushtam Yasyaso Vichanagradin Asura Prayasa Stavadvayam Tava Swadvayam Jatava Padaraja Prabhanaha. They mentions that this Paramatma Vastu, who is present in everybody's heart, Krishna, gopis are saying to Krishna, you are not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the great muni or yanis or the sages, they are also keeping you in their heart, and they are also busy in serving you within their heart. And not only that in front of the other devotees you come as dressed in your peacock feather and the flute and the garland with forest flowers and also the pidambaram, the yellow garment, wearing all that, you are present in front of the devotees and you are just like that standing in front of us. So, you are telling us to go back home. He says here, Asprashmatad Prabhadinanya Samachamangam Stadam Dayabhi Amida Vadi Parayama. So, therefore, please do not tell us to go back, because it is not possible to go back. It is not possible to go back. That why gopis are saying like that? Gopis have a reason for saying that. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a statement Krishna has given there. What is that statement? Yad gatvana nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. Krishna says there, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Yad gatvana nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. There is a verse. Krishna is saying, once you have got there is no question of coming back from there. Yad gatvana nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. Yad gatvana nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. Yes. Mamupetya purarjanmam dukhalayam ashashvatam yad gatvana nivartande tadhama paramam mama. If you apply that verse to gopis, you will see what they are saying is, we have followed that verse 100%. Is it not? Gopis are saying to Krishna that material world is a place of misery. Dukhalayam 8:15. Krishna is saying, material world is Dukhalayam Ashashwatam. Dukhalayam means place of misery, Ashashwatam means very temporary, very temporary. Mam Ubedya Punarjanmam, one who has come back to me, knowing well that this is Dukhalayam, place of misery, and it is Shashwatam, that means it is temporary. With that realization, one who has come back to me, for him there is no Punarjanmam, there is no rebirth again. Napnivandi Mahalpanam Samsiddhim Paramam Gadam. Krishna says there, isn't it? Napnivandi Mahalpanam Samsiddhim Paramam Gadam. So here also, Yadgatvana Nivartande Taddhama Paramam Mama. There is another verse where Krishna. 15:6. Okay. So 15:6, Krishna is saying, earlier he meant 15:6, yes. Nathad Basayade Suryo Na Shashango Na Pavaka Yad Gatvana Nivartande Taddhama Paramam Mama. Krishna is saying, discussing about the spiritual world, Nathad Basayade Suryo Na Shashango Na Pavaka Yad Gatvana Nivartande Taddhama Paramam Mama. The abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by electricity. One who reaches it never returns to this material world. We will only look at the last two lines. The other two lines we will discuss it when we come to that chapter. Because that particular chapter, whatever Krishna has spoken, it is a yoga bhasha, yoga language. You can see the title itself of that chapter is Yoga of the Supreme Person. So it doesn't literally mean that there is no electricity in the spiritual world. Because when you read the translation, of course it says it's not illumined by the sun, moon or electricity. Nobody expects that. That place will be will have a power supply in that way, isn't it? So there's a lot different understanding from that verse. But one thing is, what Krishna is saying there is that Yadgatvana Nivartande Taddhama Paramam Mama. Once you come back there to that place, then you don't come back from there, which is Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's abode, isn't it? And Krishna also mentioned earlier in that 8:15, Mamubeti Unarjanmam Dukkhalayam Ashashwatam Napnivandi Mahalpanam Samsiddhim Paramam Gada. There also, never return to this temporary world. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So in one or two places you will see like this in the Bhagavad Gita, that once you go back to Krishna, there is no question of coming back from there. There's no question of coming back from there. Keeping that in the perspective, gopis are saying here that we have got there now. There's no question of going back. Otherwise, what it is that Satyam Kurusha Nigamam. You will have to change your word otherwise. You have to change Bhagavad Gita. That is a gopi's answer to Krishna. So, because Vedam, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, they all are the exponents of the truth, isn't it? Truth is spoken through them. So, if you start changing your position, then those literature all requires editing them, like we do nowadays. Keep on editing everything. So editing will become necessary. So that's why gopis are saying, so Krishna understood the situation, because as far as Krishna is concerned, Vedam is absolute authority. There is no question of changing the Vedic injunctions. Or whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, even Krishna cannot change it anymore. So absolute is the authority of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Krishna cannot change it anymore, even if he wants to. He can't change it, because that is the authority. Krishna is accepting that authority, and all the great sages, they have accepted the authority of Bhagavad Gita. All the great acharyas have accepted Bhagavad Gita. So because of that, gopis are now saying to Krishna that if you tell us that we have to go back, That means these two verses have no meaning anymore. They require editing them. So Gopi said this to Krishna, and Vedam says that once you have gone back there, there is no going back from there again. And whether I am qualified or not, that is another thing. But if you got there somehow, there is no question of going back from there. And therefore, gopis are saying to Krishna, show some mercy to us. And if you start telling us that we should go back, then there is some mistake in the Vedam. It has to be corrected. It has to be corrected. They said like this to Krishna. They said like this to Krishna. So Krishna couldn't, Krishna understood the situation. These are all gopis, different arguments to Krishna. Different arguments to Krishna. That we have got to the final spot where we want to be, and there is no question of going back from there. There is an interesting story about this to explain this. That an elephant died. Elephant died. And it went to Yama, Yamadharmaraja's planet. It went to Yamadharmaraja's planet. So when the elephant got there, Yama told the elephant, you are a real fool. I have given you such a big body, such a strong body, and still you lived in this world as a slave for the human being. What is the use? I've given you the best body, such a strong body and a huge body. In spite of that, you were busy there serving this tiny little creature called human being. And you are serving him and spend all your life there serving him, and now you have come here, he says to him. I've given you another body before, like a tiger's body. And all that time, the human species, they killed you, and they took your skin and other things, teeth, everything, they took from you. And so many different bodies I have given you, but every time you lived as a slave to this human being. What is the use of giving you this, all these bodies, he says to the elephant. Because earlier times when I gave you the other bodies, you couldn't escape, they controlled you. But then I gave you the largest body, the biggest body, and the strongest body, and still you went and became their slave, he says to the elephant. Yamadharmaraja said like this to elephant. So elephant thought for a while and said to him, that is very true. Elephant is saying to Yamadharmaraja, he says to him, that is very true. I have become a slave, that is a fact. But you don't know about this human species. Who said? The elephant says to Yamadharmaraja, you don't know about them. Yamadharmaraja says, what is there to know? They are also coming here. Yeah, but there is a difference, he said. When they come here, they are already dead. And that's how you see them, isn't it? But you have to get one who has got life in them. Only then you will know the nature of that person, he said. So Chitragupta, who's Yamadharmaraja's assistant, isn't it? Who keeps all our accounts there. He he says that they asked Chitragupta that what is the punishment to be offered to this elephant, given to this elephant. Chitragupta looked into his record, and he says to him that he needs to go into the boiling, oil is boiled there, the oil which is boiling, very hot oil, and that you have to dip him little by little and take it out from him. This is the punishment. So, and all these kind of things, Chitragupta is giving instructions there. So at that point, Yamadharmaraja said, what is the difference? You are talking about this human being so much. Go in, he says to Chitragupta, let's get one with life in him here, who is fully alive, not after death, but before death. So Yama's men came here to this planet, earthly planet, and they were wandering around looking for someone to take him with life, with life, you know, like they say, isn't it? In life, they wanted to take him there with life. So they came here, and underneath the tree, one person was sitting there. Underneath the tree, one person was sitting there. So they told him, that we have come to take you to Yamadharmaraja, he said. He says to them that, wait a minute, Just give me a minute, he said. I'll get ready, I'll come with you, no problem, he said. Then from his pocket he took a piece of paper and wrote something and put it in his pocket back again. They don't know what he has written, nothing. Anyway, he agreed, so they waited for him to finish his writing and they took him in life to the Yamadharmaraja's planet. When they got there, Yamadharmaraja, the elephant was there, Yamadharmaraja was there, and this guest who has been brought live from the earth is also there. So, as soon as he got there, what he did, he took this piece of paper and gave it to Yama from his pocket. So Yama saw that thing and he says to him that, who sent you here? He said, Vishnu had sent me here, he said. Vishnu has asked me to come here and I had this letter with me which I wanted to hand over to you when I come here, but meanwhile your people came here and took me and brought me here. So I just thought I'll hand over the letter what I have got, he said. So he hands over the letter to Yama. Yama read the letter from Vaikuntham, signed by Vishnu at the bottom. Vishnu is saying to Yama that this person who is bringing this letter, hand over your position to him immediately and bade him out of the job. He lost his job. Yama lost his job. So he took over that position there in the Yama's planet. Yama's position he took over. And then many, many people were coming from here, from the earthly planet, with various sinful activities they have performed. And he had to give the judgment, isn't it? Yamadharmaraja has to give the judgment, what punishment had to be given. So they told him, everybody who had come here, he will call Chitragupta also. Chitragupta will read all the sinful activities what he has done. And different punishments were read out for different people who had come from the earthly planet. So one instance, Chitragupta said that this person has killed so many people. So he has to go through various sinful reactions of that, which he should experience through in the hellish planet. All that Chitragupta read out in the usual way. All the sinful activities and the punishments for that in two columns. He reads out everything. So this new Yama who has taken that job, he says to Chitragupta, send him to Vaikuntham, he said. So Chitragupta says, that's not fair because this is how we followed all this time. He says, the new Yama says, I'm giving you the instructions, you listen to me. He says, send him back now, he said. Very firm he was in his decision, he was sent to the Vaikuntham. Next person came, another one in the same way. When this person came, again the same thing happened. Chitragupta was called in. Chitragupta gave a list of crimes he has committed. He has committed adultery. He has committed all kinds of sinful activities, what we call as sinful things in this world. So many things he has done. He has robbed many people, mugged many people, participate in the London riots or whatever you call. All that what they have to do, they have done all that. So at the end, again the new Yama says, send him to Vaikuntham, he said. So Chitragupta was getting a little bit upset. Chitragupta says to him, we never followed this kind of, he says, stop it, I am the new authority here. What I say, you follow. You don't tell me what you have done before. You may have done many things, it doesn't matter. This is what I am telling you now. Says, and Yama also couldn't sit. The old Yama is sitting there and listening to all these things. So one after the other, the Vaikuntham got filled up. There was a stampede or whatever happened in Vaikuntham because so many people are coming from the earthly planet, and Mahavishnu there start getting worried. Have I sent any great devotees to this world so that so many people are getting liberated and coming back to Vaikuntham? He started thinking like this. So Vishnu was thinking that all these people are coming because some great Mahatma must have appeared in this world. Because of that, so many people are coming back to the Vaikuntham. Vishnu thought like that. So Vishnu investigated and called Narada Muni and asked him, where is all this coming from? Says, Narada Muni, I don't know, we have to go and find out why so many are coming to Vaikuntham. Quite unusual. They were not prepared for that. They didn't have the infrastructure to accommodate so many people at the same time. Vaikuntham also has its own limitations, isn't it? So anyway, they went and eventually they both came. Sri Narada Maharshi, Mahavishnu and all came to inquire and came to ask first to find out from Yama that why all these people are coming back. So when the person who was sitting the Yama's seat, Vishnu immediately recognized this is not the actual Yama. Somebody else has taken this position. So they told him, Mahavishnu asked, where is the Yama who used to be here? He said. Yama was sitting there. He said, he got up and said, I lost my job. You made me redundant. I sat here since then. I got your letter and I immediately handed over the authority to this new person whom you have sent. And he seems to be very enthusiastic of sending everyone back to Vaikuntham. He has no interest in anything else. So he asked this new person that, why do you send everybody to Vaikuntham? He says, his answer is more interesting. He says, what do you do when you are in the earthly planet? Suppose you get a chance to help your friends and family, you do that, isn't it? Everybody does that. In this world also, that's what you find. You get into a position, you pull up all your people there into all the positions. That is what I am used to in this world. So I got an opportunity now. So I thought, let me utilize it. Everybody who can go to Vaikuntham, let me get them in. And I also know, once they are in the Vaikuntham, they can't be sent back here. Because then you will have to change Bhagavad Gita. So the same tactic gopis are using now. Gopis are also saying to Krishna, that if you send us back now, you have to edit Bhagavad Gita now. You have to read, because yadgatvana nivartande yadbhasayade suyo nashashango na pavaga yadgatvana nivartande taddhama paramammama. My abode, Krishna says, once you have come, no going back. So I got this opportunity, this Yama is saying to Krishna. I got an opportunity now. Maybe it's temporary that you have put me here. Doesn't matter. But as many people as possible, I've got them to Vaikuntha, he says. Because you gave me an opportunity to do that, I utilized it very well. So I have no regrets, he says. So Mahavishnu said, this is not bad. This is the problem. Now our Yama understood. This is how this human species is. You give them a little leeway, he will completely exploit the whole situation. And they are good at it. So Yama now understood, and now Yama actually congratulated the elephant for saying the truth about this human species. Human species is like that. So devotees are also like that. There's nothing wrong in that. You may think it is a wrong thing. No. If you get an opportunity, and if there is any loophole in Krishna's law, which is Bhagavad Gita, you should exploit it and take advantage of it and go back home, back to Krishna. Because Krishna says, once you get there, you don't have to come back. How to get there, that's the only important thing. So here, that's why Krishna says, because ultimately, when you look at it this way, Krishna is saying there that, although this story is not in the Purana or Shastram, one Mahatma has spoken like this, just to make us understand that the story is not the important thing, the message is important. Message is that, everybody has a right to go back to Krishna. Everybody has a right to go back to Krishna. Nobody can stop from going back to Krishna. And Krishna is saying the qualification for that is a desire, intense desire inside, what is known as mumukshatvam, isn't it? Manishyatvam, mumukshatvam, mahapurusha samshrayam. So that mumukshatvam, intense desire to escape from here, yeah, that is all the qualification necessary. And if that qualification is there, no matter how bad the person is, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Abhijay sudhuracharo bhajadema mananyabhak sadhureva samandasya samye vyavasidohisa kshipram bhavadi dharmalpa shashvat shantim nigachadi kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, so it doesn't matter, gopis are also saying like this. Said, we have come to you. We haven't got any qualifications. But the fact is that we are here now. You can't send us back. So after several lifetimes we have got here. And please do not reject us at this stage. We have come to you. And that is what in the 37th verse you will see. Shri Alpadam Bujarajas Chakame Tulasyal Labdhu Abhivakshasi Padam Kila Vritya Jushtam Yasya Sovishna Anya Kridenya Sirprayasa Tadudvayam Cha Tava Padaraja Prabannaham.
So, we have reached at your lotus feet, not only lotus feet, the dust at your lotus feet. Padarajas, he says here. Padaraja Prabannaham. We have surrendered to that, he says. Lakshmi Devi desires that dust all desires that lotus feet all the time, and she has also, although she got a place in Krishna's chest, in Vishnu's chest, still she says, I don't want that, I want to stay at the lotus feet, I want to stay at the lotus feet. Lakshmi Devi says like that, and many great demigods, they are queuing up to have a darshan of Lakshmi Devi, to have a darshan. And that Lakshmi Devi wants to stay at your lotus feet. And similarly, we are not even asking you for the lotus feet, we are asking you for that rajasa. Rajasa means the dust from your lotus feet. Pada raja prabannaham. And then he says in the 38th verse, tanna prasidam vijinardana tengrimulam prapta visrajya vasadi stadarubasanasham tulsundara smidanirikshana tivrakamam Saptalpanam Purushabhushana Dehidasyam Purushatasyalpanam Saptalpanam Taptalpanam Purushabhushana Dehidasyam Dasyam. Dasyam means servitude. Bhakti in servitude. Bhakti in servitude. So, Prasidavrjinam. Here you will see that Tanna Prasidavrjina Ardhana Tengrimulam Saprapta visrajya vasadi sadubhasana shaham. That vrajinardhanam. Vrajinardhanam means one who has, who is capable of removing all our sinful reactions from us. Even if the sinful reactions is like so many accumulated like an ocean, Krishna is capable of removing our sinful reactions. Krishna is capable of removing our sinful reactions. And that removing that sinful reactions, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is calling, mentions that, if you look into the fourth chapter, you will see, sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishasi. The same word comes there also. In the fourth chapter, 36th verse, Krishna mentions there. Sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. Isn't it? Yeah. Abhijet sabiba asipa bebhya sarvebhya pavakritamaha sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. Krishna is saying in that chapter, Jnana Yogam, Transcendental Knowledge, he said, Abhijet asipa bebhya sarvebhya pavakritamaha sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Sarvam jnana plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. So, that jnanam personified is Krishna, isn't it? Spiritual knowledge, that personification, Krishna is that personification itself of that jnanam. So, what does that mean? It means that all sinful activities at that very moment will leave him. All sinful reactions will leave him at that very moment. What does sinful reactions mean? Sinful reactions, as far as we are concerned, is aham karta, aham bhokta. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, which is nothing but which comes from the false ego inside. From the false ego inside. So when that false ego completely disappears from inside, and when one knows very well that only the soul is present inside, at that point, sarvam jnanam plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi, all the sinful reactions have left that person. Whenever we say that I have committed so many sinful activities, I have done so many pious activities, in all that,
the sinful aspect or the pious aspect is that I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. As long as this I am the doer and I am the enjoyer has gone away, which means false ego has gone away, then there is no more sinful reactions. There is no more sinful reactions after that, because you have, through the process of karma yoga, where aham kartva, aham bhokta. What is our position? Aham karta, aham bhokta, ragam, dvesham. This is what is called samsaram, isn't it? Material existence means these four things. Aham karta, aham bhokta, raga, dvesham. These four things combined is called material existence. In the Bhashyam, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, that aham karta, aham bhokta, raga, dveshadi. All these four things is what makes us jiva or false ego inside. These four things are the false ego inside. When these four things have left a person, false ego has gone. Jiva bhavam has gone. He is not anymore a jiva, conditioned soul. He has come to his pure spiritual platform. That is what it mentions here, that sarvam jnanam plaveneiva vrijinam sandarishyasi. So, when we come to realize we are not anymore that false ego inside, but rather spirit soul, atma. And at that time, kartrutva bhavam, as long as we have the ownership or doership inside, the sinful reaction will not go. And as long as we think I am the doer, also the reaction won't go from inside. In that case, every sinful reaction we have to experience through that. And here Krishna is saying, once that has left, I am karta, aham karta, aham bhokta, if that has left him, then immediately sarvam jnanam plaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi, he comes to the platform of the spiritual plane, and there is no more effect of any of your sinful activities. The example given is, if a room which has been locked up for say 100 years or 500 years, and it was totally pitch dark there, and there is no sunlight coming to that room, if you bring a lamp into the room, instantaneously you get the light everywhere. Similarly, the example here is that as soon as Krishna enters into the heart, this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, enters into the heart, immediately all the sinful reactions, the results of our sinful activities is completely wiped out from inside. That is experience of Krishna mentioned. That's what says here, vijina ardhanam ankrimulam praptaham. So, you'll see that tanna prasida vijina ardhanate ankrimulam prapta visrajya vasadi tudubhasanashaham svalsundarasmana nirikshana tivrakamam saptalpanam purushabhushana dehidasyam purushabhushana dehidasyam. So, here, vijina ardhanate ankrimulam praptaham. Then the sinful reactions what the gopis had, that is all already completely wiped out from them, isn't it? So, visrajya vasadi, we have this mentioned here, visrajya vasadi tudubhasanashaham, that we have given up our home. Gopis are saying, we have given up our home. Upasanashaham, Upasana means sitting closer to Krishna. Sitting closer to Krishna. So being very closer to Krishna, not separated from Krishna, that is upasana. Asana means seat. Upasana means nearby. So upasana has a meaning like that, to be closer to Krishna, situated next to Krishna, to sit next to him. Just like Upanayanam, another word is Upasana here. So, gopis are saying here that Prapta visrajya vasadi tudubhasana shaham tal sundarasmita nirikshana tivrakamam saptalpanam purushabhushana dehidasyam. We have come to know, they are saying here to Krishna, that the house is considered to be antakopam, dark well. For devotees, it is like that. They know, when you go home, what is it? You have to get involved in so many different things, isn't it? So many things. No time for any spiritual activities. So business, so busy at home. When you get home, there will be so many demands from so many people. Do this, do that, this has to be done. Wife will say something, husband will say something, children will ask for something. So many demands will come. Griham andhakopam. So, and there is no time for practicing Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have given up all that, gopis are saying, and we have come and taken shelter at your feet, and don't give up, don't throw us back again. So, now we have come to the final shelter. Gopis says like this. So we'll stop there for a few minutes and we'll start again later. So, gopis are saying to Krishna, Tanna Prasida, verse 38, Tanna Prasida, Vrijinardana, Te Angrimulam, Prapta Visrajya Vasadi, Tudubasana Shaha, Twel Sundara Smida, Nirikshana, Tivrakama, Taptalpanam, Purishabhushana, Dehi Dasyam. Gopi says to Krishna, we have come and taken your shelter now at your lotus feet. And Tulsundara Tanna Prasida, you can see there the third line, Tulsundara Smita Nirikshana Tivrakamam Taptasanam. When gopis have spoken all these things, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled at the gopis. And when Krishna smiled, Krishna was in a very excited state after seeing this, after hearing these words from the gopis. Krishna was very excited. That means this very smile of Krishna, that has increased their desires inside. You can see there that Tal Sundara Smita Nirikshana Tivra Kama Taptalpanam. Tivra Kama means very intense desires have come inside, in their heart. So why did they use this word kamam? Kamam because actually what it refers here to is kamam means parabhakti. That bhakti is what is actually meant to be said, the word. But instead they use the word kamam because kamam is a word which we can easily understand. The Sukadeva Brahma Sri Sukadeva Goswami says, kamam is a word which ordinary people, mundane world, they easily understand that word. Therefore, he used that word. Bhakti is a word they do not know, they don't understand. In Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the same thing. In some places, Krishna will use the word. Normally, you don't use the word kamam in spiritual terminology. That when Krishna smiled, their kamam has increased. Kamam is not the word to be used there. Actually, it should have been bhakti has increased. But why they use the word kamam? Because for those in this material world, they understand the word kamam. Like we remember when we discussed the 7th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins that chapter, my asakta mana partha. Krishna uses the word asakta there. Asakti is not the proper way. Because the reason is, to get attached to Krishna, that is what Krishna uses the word asakti there. But asakti is normally spoken in the mundane way, in a materialistic way, asakti. For example, someone who is very attached to various kinds of sense enjoyment in this world. Somebody is attached to their car or wife or children or something. When there is excessive attachment, that is what is called asakti, isn't it? Asakti is not a proper word in spiritual life. But still Krishna uses the word asakti there because asakti is a word we will understand. Whereas we won't understand spiritual attachment, rati. That word we won't understand. So asakti is the word used in the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukha Brahmarshi is using the word Tul Sundara Smita Nirikshana Tivra Kamam. That intensity of the desires, that is the Tivra Kamam of attachment, lusty relationship with Krishna, excessive attachment like that, that is what we mentioned here. So a lady has seen a man and smiled, and the man is completely captivated by that. So Similarly, when a man smiles, the women get happy about that. These are in the mundane world. In the material world, these relationships are quite normal. And ordinary people will understand that. He smiled and she enjoyed that smile. Or she smiled and he felt happy about that. So, this is the interesting thing. That in the mundane world, that relationship exists. But if you come to the spiritual world, when Krishna is smiling, gopis were extremely, their desires have increased. And the word used is nirikshana tivra kama tapta alpanam purusha bhushana dehi dasyam. Gopis are saying to Krishna that when you have smiled, our desires have increased to associate with you. Gopis are saying like that. Actually, there is an interesting story about that. Ramanujacharya had a very interesting disciple. Ramanujacharya had a very interesting disciple. This disciple, he was engaged in wrestling. He was a wrestler. He was a wrestler. And he used to come and listen to Ramanujacharya's lectures from Ramayanam. And he was very attracted to Ramanujacharya's way he spoke about various things. But somehow or the other, he got attracted to a prostitute from somewhere. And he gave up all association with Ramanujacharya and started going after her. So such a powerful person, he was a wrestler, he had a strong body, everything. He became subjugated by her. He came completely under her control. So Ramanuja thought like this. Why has he left the association of the devotees and gone away like this? So Ramanuja understood that he actually got victimized by the beauty of that girl to whom he got attracted. So Ramanuja thought like this. If he sees the beauty of Krishna, what will happen? What will happen to him? So there was only one way he realized. If he has to leave her and come back to the association of the devotees, the only thing what he has to do that he should see the beauty of Krishna. So Ramanuja asked that wrestler like this. He says, why are you going after her like this? Why are you going after her like this? In other words, he was doing all kinds of service to her, being attracted by her. And he also told her, you are such a strong person physically, but you are so weak in your mind that you have to go like this in this life. And one day it so happened that she was going through the street and Ramanuja happened to go through that street. And when he noticed that she was holding the umbrella for her and walking behind her. Seeing this, Ramanuja thought he should speak to him. Ramanuja thought that he should speak to him and ask him about what is that special thing he has found in her. Ramanuja asked him, why you walk like this? So this person who got captivated by the beauty of this lady, he says to Ramanuja, you don't understand the beauty, her beauty. You don't understand that. She looked at me and she smiled, the beauty of her eyes, and so many things he started describing to Ramanujacharya about it. So ultimately, Ramanuja thought like this, there is no point in discussing with him anything now. Unless something, a higher beauty, higher beautiful eyes or beautiful smile, only if he sees that, he will leave her. There was no other way he was going to leave her. So he asked Ramanuja, asked that person, that if I show you something more beautiful than her eyes, or if I show you someone who is more beautiful than her, would you leave her and come with me? He said. Ramanuja says to this wrestler. Wrestler goes with him, and Ramanuja tied his eyes completely with a cloth, tied his eyes, and took him straight away to Sri Rangam in front of Raghunatha temple. And brought him right into the temple inside. In front of the Ranganatha deity, he kept him and took out the cloth, what he has tied on to his eyes. He took it out and told him to look at Ranganatha. When he looked at Ranganatha, because Ramanujacharya was such a great devotee, that Ranganatha had to appear in his vision. That is the beauty of the great devotees. They can see in the deity of the absolute truth. They can see the deity, absolute truth. So Ranganatha's beauty, Ramanuja also knows Ranganatha's beauty. So only a devotee can show Krishna to somebody else with the same beauty the way he is seeing Krishna. And that's what has happened here. Ranganatha's beauty is known to Ramanuja. And Ramanuja sees that beauty in Ranganatha. So Ramanuja was able to show the beauty of Ranganatha to this devotee. Showed it to him. And only if a devotee shows that, you can see it in that way. You can see that beauty. Or with our own eyes, if you look at Ranganatha, we won't see the beauty of Ranganatha. But a great devotee like Ramanujacharya, when he told this wrestler to look at Ranganatha, what he saw was the beautiful eyes of Ranganatha. And when he saw the beautiful eyes of Ranganatha, what do you think now? Ramanuja asked him. After that, he has not never left that temple, from Sriranganatha temple. So there is so many things like that, so many interesting stories about it. So Upasana Murti, that means the deity what Ramanujacharya has worshipped. You can see the beauty of the deity only if it is shown to you by a devotee who is performing Upasana for that deity. That is the rule. That is the rule. You can only see the beauty of the deity only if it is shown to you by a person who is serving or performing Upasana for that deity. Otherwise, we will only simply see it as the stone, black stone or marble or whatever it is. So we will see the deity form, but we won't see the beauty of that form. That a devotee has to show it to us. Why? Because in his dreams, Ramanujacharya's dream, he has experienced that. And it has to get transmitted into us. Into whatever form Ramanuja has experienced. And that has to flow into the wrestler's heart. Into the wrestler's heart. That time, Ranganatha's divine beauty manifested in the heart of this wrestler. And Ramanuja had no other choice except to do it. Because by no logic or reasoning, that person will withdraw from his association with that woman. And it was not possible to get his attention away from there. So it was the last thing Ramanuja decided to do this, brought him in front of the deity and took out the cloth and told him to look at Ranganatha. And when he saw the beauty of Ranganatha, as Ramanuja introduced Ranganatha to him, he has experienced it, what beauty means. What beauty means. That's why gopis are saying here, Twal sundara smita nirikshana tivra kamam taptalpanam purusha bhoshana dehi dasyam. After that, this particular woman to whom this wrestler had this excessive attachment, that excessive attachment itself, when it has directed towards Ranganatha, it has become pure devotion. It has become pure devotion. You can see that here. That when the same excessive attachment what this wrestler had towards that prostitute, when Ranganatha brought that person and directed that attachment towards Ranganatha, it became bhakti. It became bhakti. So kamam on one side turned into bhakti on the other side. They are all emotions coming from the soul, isn't it? Coming from the soul. And this transfer from kamam to bhakti, what has happened to that devotee? That's exactly what gopis are talking about here. Gopis are saying to Krishna, Tul sundara smita nirikshana tivra kamam saptalpanam purusha bhoshana dehi dasyam. That attachment to Krishna, lusty relationship with Krishna in the beginning. But when they directed that towards Krishna, that attachment and lust, everything has turned into bhakti. Turned to bhakti. So bhakti and every emotion, it gets transferred from one thing to another. So when that excessive attachment, tivra kamam, what the word used is tivra kamam. Tivra kamam means very intense kamam, intense attachment. When that intense attachment, when it is directed towards Krishna, that became pure bhakti. Pure bhakti. Therefore, this is the reason It is only, this is a very important principle in spiritual life. What is that? That when we have a form to worship, Sakaram, Nirakaram, you know there are two ways of worshipping which we will discuss in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The worship of Krishna with form, worship of Krishna without form. What is one is called as personalism, other one is called as impersonalism, isn't it? But both of them you have to understand where they have come from, both these forms of worship. That Krishna, absolute truth, he has to have appears with some form in this world, in different forms. Ramachandra's form, Narasimhamurti's form, Parashuram's form, Balaram's form, various forms, boar, fish, Varaham, Vamanamurti, like that various forms Krishna has appeared and many other forms as well. So what is the reason that this process of worship of a form like this was brought in? Why was it brought in? Because our attachment to our own form and body is very strong in us. We have very strong attachment to this form of our own body. Isn't it? Attachment to our body and this form. And this attachment for beauty is based on this body. If you know that you find beauty in some other person, how do you find that beauty in that person? Because in your own mind, you have already made certain conclusions that this is beauty and this is the specification or definition of beauty. In your own consciousness, you have made a definition based on your own body. You have certain understanding in the bodily concept of life. When we are under the bodily concept of life, you will only see this thing called beauty purely based on the body. Purely based on the body. That is very deeply embedded in all of us. We say somebody is beautiful, somebody is ugly. We don't talk about that in relationship with a tree or with an animal, do we? Sometimes people say it's a nice, good-looking horse or a good-looking elephant. We will make a comment like that. But when it comes to our own form, our own bodily features, and we compare with somebody else, we find beauty in some people. We find some ugliness in somebody else, isn't it? So this sharira abhimanam or bodily concept of life, as long as we are under the clutches or under the control of the material body. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying there, klesho atikatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadvi ravapyate. You will see a verse in the 12th chapter which we will be discussing later. Then dehavadvi ravapyate. Why do we have attraction for a form? Because we have a form at the moment. At the moment we have a form. So naturally, the only way, the bodily identity, bodily concept is very strong in us. And therefore, another body when you see, we will try to impose all our perceptions on that body as well. On that body as well. And the same problem gets into all fields. In the same way it happens, isn't it? Spiritual master we will see as the body. Krishna we will see as the body. We see ourselves as the body. Same problem. We are the body, spiritual master is the body, Krishna is also the body. Nothing else for us. Why? Very deep, intense attachment to our own body. It is due to that this is happening. It's due to attachment to our own body that we have attachment to other bodies as well. And only in a bodily level we can relate with others. That's why it mentions here that it is very strong in us. And therefore, when we talk about Krishna as impersonal or when we talk about the impersonal aspect of Krishna, it's very difficult for us to relate with it because of this. That's what Krishna is saying in that verse. Avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbir avapyade. Dehavadbir means one who has got a body, material body, they will find very difficult to execute this upasana to the impersonal truth, impersonal feature of Krishna. Impersonal feature of Krishna. That is how Krishna answers that question from Arjuna. Arjuna asked the question, isn't it? What was Arjuna's question? Arjuna asked the question to Krishna, which one is better? That was the question. Krishna's answer is, klesho atikatarastesham avyaktasakta chedasam avyakta higadir dukham dehavadbir avapyate. That avyakta higadir dukham, It is very difficult, Krishna says, when you are under the identity of a body, in bodily concept of life or in the bodily identity, it is very difficult for you to actually understand the form of the worship, what is offered, the impersonal aspect of Krishna. So here also you will see, we can talk about Brahman. Brahman, when we talk about, we will simply understand the word Brahman. We'll think about it. But so, with the sound, we are performing upasana, and at the same time, nirgunam nirakaram, isn't it? Impersonal and also formless. Impersonal, formless form. When you worship them, it is difficult for a person, unless till he is released from the bodily identity or the dehabhimanam, or a bodily concept of life, only for him it is possible to do that. As long as we have the identification with the body, and as long as we have the desire in us, when you see another body and I want to relate with that body on a bodily level, that Brahman, or we will always be attracted towards the beauty of that body, and we get attracted to that body, and our strong urge from inside, even if we have understood all Krishna consciousness in other way, otherwise, only when he loses this bodily identity, he will understand the other aspects of Krishna, other aspects of Krishna. In other words, one who has got bodily identification, and as long as he is desiring for another body, although it is Brahman, it is Brahman, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi. It is Brahman. Whatever beauty he finds in that body and gets attracted to that, he will be attracted by the beauty of that body, and only someone appears in this world with all his perception of beauty. For example, somebody has very strong attachment to beauty in this world. And in his own impressions he has, idea about beauty, his own understanding about beauty. And when he sees beauty, the mind will go and stand there. When he sees beauty, mind will go and stand there. And if you want to pull the mind away from that, he has to find something more beautiful than that. Otherwise, his mind will go and stand there till he finds something more beautiful than that. This is the nature of the mind. So, when in the material world, as long as we are in the bodily concept of life, and as long as we are the bodily concept of life, and as long as we are in this understanding that body is beautiful, and subdued by the beauty of the body, even if there is Brahman inside, you won't recognize Brahman there. You will only be captivated by the beauty of that body. And as long as you are attracted by that body, unless another person appears with all that features of the beauty what you have in your mind, you will not, only then you will lose your bodily identity. That is the time when you lose your bodily identity. That's the only way you can free yourself from the bodily identity. In other words, suppose we are in the bodily concept of life, very much, very strongly in the bodily concept of life, and we have seen another body and desiring towards that, but in that body, whatever beauty you have seen and got attracted to it, only if that body exhibits that beauty in a very powerful way, only then we will lose our bodily identity. That's when we lose our own bodily identity. That is why in the Bhagavatam there is a word mentioned about Krishna, Svecho Pata Prithak Vapu. Svecho Pata Prithak Vapu. Uddhava addresses Krishna like that. Krishna has taken a special form, an attractive form, and out of his mercy he has come to this world, and in his own beautiful way he appeared in front of us, so that people got attracted to that form. Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram tudrupam ആശ്ചര്യതോപി ആശ്ചര്യം ഭുവനേന കസ്യ കുതുകം സൗന്ദര്യോത്തരതോപി സുന്ദരതരം ത്വദ്രൂപം. കൃഷ്ണസ് ഫോം among all the beauty in this world, it's the most beautiful. It has to be like that. Only then our attention will fall on Krishna. Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram todrubam. That is the Krishna's beauty. If you keep all the beautiful things in this world, after all, what is beauty? Beauty is in our mind, some perception in us, isn't it? Something is beautiful, something is ugly. Who gave the definition of beauty like that? Something in our mind is telling it is beautiful. And saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram todrubam. Krishna's form is so beautiful. Ashcharyadobi ashcharyam. Wonder among all the wonders, that beautiful form Krishna has exhibited. So, even if you see a beautiful face, unless you see some beautiful face more beautiful than that, and only then, similarly, Krishna's hair, it is spoken about that also. And sometimes all Krishna's bodily features, and that is what the devotees are talking about Krishna, that when he sees that why does Krishna appears in that form? You cannot get an answer to that by using your intelligence. Intelligence cannot answer that question. That is how it is. That's all it is. That's how it is. That if beauty is such a thing, that mind has got this problem. If it sees something beautiful, it'll go and stay there. In a person or in a beautiful object, whatever it is. If you want to get the mind out of that, the mind has to see something more beautiful than that. Otherwise it won't go from there. So, so in order to get us out of this bodily identity, Krishna has to appear in front of us in a particular form. Appear in front of us, otherwise it won't go away from here. So this has spoken in the appearance time of Krishna also, if you remember. When Krishna appeared in this world, first thing Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki is like that. He mentions there that this form I appeared, you should look after me like your son. But I never forget that my actual feature is Brahman. I am Brahman. That should never be forgotten, he says here. So, one who has no birth, Krishna has no birth, is there. Although we celebrate Janmashtami and all that, Krishna's actual position, reality, what birth has he got? Neither birth nor death. Is it not? So, and that person has to appear here, taking birth, act like a child, acts like a young man, and appear in front of us in so many beautiful forms. And why? Because if you see all that, all these activities of Krishna, somehow or the other, our desires will go away and we'll get attracted to that form and that pastimes. And that is why this mood of worshipping like this is there in all traditions, in Vaishnavam, Shaivam, everything, it exists there. So, if you read about this, there are many instances like that. Devotees getting captivated by the beauty of the deity they have worshipped and carried away by that. Ramalinga Swamiji, he was once brought to a temple when he was a very little child, 2 or 3 years old. And at that time, he was taken in front of the Shiva's deity, and he sings a song much, much later about that. When he was brought there, and he was sitting on the hip of the mother, and as soon as he saw the deity, he started laughing very heartily. He made a big laugh at that time, seeing the deity there. And many years later, after 30-40 years later, when he compiled a song, he writes about that in his own composition. He says there that when I saw him, he says, I could not take my eyes away from him. And what, such a little boy, he was only a few, 2 or 3 years old, what kind of desire can he have? But he says there, what happened to me, he says at that time, is that when I saw him, I got attracted to him. He says, I got attracted to him. I couldn't help. And he mentions about that, in different ways in his poetry how this all happened to him. So this Gopi Bhavam, Gopi's attractions to Krishna, that happens in all other Shaiva traditions also, they have the same thing, but only towards Nataraja form. Shiva's dancing posture. Though Vasandhi Hitva Prapta Visrajya Vasati, that mentions there, that you will see here that in the next verse, Vichyalakamrutamukham Tava Kundala Shri Gandastaladhara Sukham Khasitavalokam Dattabhayam Jabijadandayukam Vilokya Vatshashriyega Ramanam Chabhavamadasyaha Vichyalakamrutamukham Tava Kundala Shri Gandastaladhara Sukham Khasitavalokam Dattabhayam Jabijadandayukam Vilokya Vatshashriyega Ramanam Chabhavamadasyaham. That Gopis are saying to Krishna that we have given up everything, come to you, and that smile what we have seen, and that has created an intense desire inside us. Purusha Bhushana Dehi Dasyam, so give us your servitude, engage us as your servants, and we are your servant, but only thing, we don't get paid. Gopis are saying that we don't get paid. So in the next verse he says that they are looking at Krishna's face and saying that the two eardrops on Krishna's face on both sides, they are looking at that, and it's and that smile, Krishna's beautiful smile, Krishna's peacock feather, Krishna's flute, and Krishna's yellow garment, and the garlands which Krishna was wearing, Shri Valsam Kaustubham which Krishna was wearing, all these things. And they are saying to Krishna, Lakshmi Devi normally lives on your chest, and we have become your servants. So, and seeing Krishna's intense beauty, and when seeing that Krishna's intense beauty, gopis have lost their own identity. Their own identity. That means they were never thinking anymore themselves beautiful. That beauty has gone. Because normally in that body they expect to have some feeling always that they are beautiful, isn't it? So that beautiful experience what they used to have, it has left them. Why? When they saw Krishna's beauty. One feels beauty in one's own body due to one's own identification with the body, isn't it? So in order to take that identification away from that, Krishna has to appear in front of us in a much more beautiful way. When Krishna appeared in a more beautiful way, when Gopi saw that beauty, Krishna's beauty, they lost their bodily identity. They realized that they are not beautiful anymore, which means they started slowly losing their identification with the body. So in this way, when you see Krishna's beauty, and when you lose your own bodily identity and lose the false ego inside, that is called Dasyam. Dasyam means that's when you surrender as a servant to Krishna. Surrender as a servant to Krishna. So in the spiritual terms, we have to understand this properly. Everything gets surrendered to Krishna. Sharanagadi, what we refer to as normally, Sharanagadi, Sharanagadi, the word itself is, walk is, the word is not Sharanagadi, actually, I am surrendering, but everything is done by Krishna. That is how you have to understand Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender. You can't do Sharanagati. Krishna has to force you to do Sharanagati, and then Sharanagati happens. Like in the case of gopis, Krishna appeared with such a beauty, intense beauty. The result was that gopis lost all interest in everything, completely captivated by Krishna's beauty. They lost their bodily identity and they surrendered to Krishna. And surrendered as Krishna's servants, that is the Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati. Everything, Krishna is doing that. Krishna is doing that. We can't do anything about it. Or talking about it doesn't mean anything. Because in order that our false ego to go and completely make the surrender, that higher beauty, the divine beauty of Krishna has to, that powerful force from Krishna has to take us out. That is what Sarvajnyatvam, Sharanagadam, so many things spoken about that is this, that seeing all that, seeing Krishna's beauty, the all ego has completely surrendered to Krishna at that point. So, whenever we develop attachment anywhere in this world, it's normal, isn't it? If you develop attachment to anyone very strongly, what happens? You surrender to him. You surrender to that person. So, the whatever vastu, whatever object you have developed attachment, you surrender there to that object. You can look at that in this world and see that what is happening. Little things, if you look in this world, you will notice this. So, whatever, for example, it doesn't mean man, woman also. Sometimes people become very attracted to some powerful personality. Sometimes football players, sometimes film actors, or sometimes great musicians. Different things. People get attracted and they have developed a priyam attachment for that. What happens then? Then they surrender to them. Inside they surrender happens. In front of them, their ego goes. You may have noticed that. In front of that person to whom they have surrendered, their ego disappears. You can notice this all the time. So even in case of football players, if you take, sometimes some of the football fans, they become so attracted to the way they play the football or their skills or whatever it is, they become completely mesmerized by Messi. So this attraction for football is like this. Everything in this world, whether it's music, whether it's beauty, or anything great, when somebody finds in someone, priyam starts flowing towards that person in that way, and he surrenders. And he surrenders to him. Surrender happens inside. Ahankaram goes away. You can see the false ego immediately disappears and he surrenders to him. And similarly here, what happened now? In front of the gopis, Krishna has appeared with intense beauty, extreme beauty. And when the gopis saw that, the gopis realized themselves they are nothing in this world as far as beauty is concerned. They lost their bodily identity and they have completely surrendered to Krishna. Completely surrendered to Krishna. So, we become a slave of the object to whom our priyam flows from us. To whom our love or love of priyam which flows from us towards someone. So, we become the slave of that. That tendency is in everybody. Is in everybody. If the same tendency, if it is directed towards Krishna, if it turns it towards Krishna, or in other words, if we become surrendered to Krishna, we escape from this world. Whereas so long as it is directed towards other objects, whether it is in football or in cricket or in music or in films or whatever, wherever our attraction goes away, that is all a misdirected sharanagati. Proper sharanagati only happens when we get attracted by Krishna and we surrender there, our false ego leaves us immediately from us. So, Vaksha Shri Gandas Vichyalakavrtamukham Tavakundala Shri Gandas Thaladharasukam Hasitavalokam Dathabhayam Bhujadandayugam Vilokya Vaksha Shri Egaramanam Chabhavamadasyaham. So, here you can see gopis have given up all other dharmam and they have come to Krishna. And Vakshavat Vikshalakavardamukham Tavakundala Shri. And what's happening here? He says here, they have come to surrender to us. So the question is coming here, is it not giving up dharmam? And because there is a Vakshashriyegaramanam cha bhavamadhasyaham. So, asking here that gopis have come from a good background and they have also have some traditions, isn't it? So are they going to give up all these things? And that is why gopis are answering in the next verse. If you think that we have completely broken all the rules and come here and that is going to create a bad name for us, we are not concerned about that. Their explanation for that is the next verse. Kastrengade kalapadayata murchidena sammohida ayrecharidana chale trilokyam ತ್ರೈಲೋಕ್ಯ ಸೌಭಗಮಿದಂ ಚ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷೆ ರೂಪಂ ಯದ್ ಗೋ ದ್ವಿಜ ದೃಮಲತಾ ಪುಳಗಾನ್ಯ ಬಿಭ್ರನ್. ಇಸೈಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಕಾಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ಅಂಗತೆ ಕಳಪದಾಯದ ಮೂರ್ಛಿದೇನ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ರಿಯಾಕ್ಷನ್. ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ಪುರುಷ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ವುಮನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಎವ್ರಿ ಜೀವ ಈಸ್ ಅ ವುಮೆನ್ ಫೀಮೇಲ್. ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಗತಿ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಫೀಮೇಲ್. In the conjugal relationship, Madhurya Bhavam, that man is also a woman. Man is also a woman. That is why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Vrindavanam, Rupa Goswami had a conversation with Mirabhai, isn't it? Mirabhai came to Vrindavanam and wanted to have an audience with Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami has sent a message to Mirabhai that he will not see and talk to women about Krishna consciousness. And that is, Rupa Goswami was from a Goswami's level, he spoke like that. Mirabhai's question was that, is there any man in Vrindavanam? In this context that Mirabhai has asked that question. It is in this context that that Mira is saying to her, Vrindavanam there is only one man, one male. That is Krishna, nobody else. Everybody else is a woman in Vrindavanam. So that from here you can see that for the first time I'm hearing that there is another male in Vrindavanam, and says Mirabhai to send the message to Rupa Goswami. So here authority is Krishna himself, because strictly speaking, all the jivas are under the modes of material nature. Isn't it? Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti. And what am I at the moment? The material body, gross body, mind, intelligence, false ego. Am I all these things together? Because all of them belong to Prakriti. And Prakriti means female, isn't it? Prakriti means female. There is no man there. So in the body, only the soul is Purusha. Purusha is only the soul. So only that is given the title Purusha. In the normally Purusha, Stree, man, woman is based on the body we define in this world, isn't it? But in spiritual terminology, Purusha is inside, rest everything is Prakriti. According to the 7th chapter also. Mind, body, intelligence, ego, that's all Prakriti. The only thing inside that is Purusha is the soul. Purusha is the soul. And Atma alone is the soul. So in other words, Atma alone is the soul means Krishna is the only soul and Krishna is only Purusha. So in other words, the Vaishnava philosophy also that Purusha is Krishna. Nobody else is Purusha. Everybody else is female. Everybody else is woman. So our material body also is Prakriti, isn't it? Everybody is Prakriti. That is why in the Devi Bhagavatam the prayer says, everyone is a mother. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Madhri Rubena Samsthida Namastase 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 Namo Nama Madhru Bhuva. Ya Devi, Sri Bhagavati, who is present in everyone in the mother form. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Madhri Rubena Samsthida. Sarva Bhudeshu doesn't say only in the female body. So the mother feeling is then everyone, male, female, everything, it is there. Mother, female is there. The form is there in everyone. The Madhuri Rupam, Madhuri Rupena Samsthita, it is there in everybody. So that Sri Parvati is mentioned like this. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Madhuri Rupena Samsthita, in mother form, mother form, who is present in everyone. And Namastase, 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 Namo Nama. There it doesn't say Strishu, only among the Stri, but Sarva Bhudeshu, in all living entities. In other words, this Madhurya Bhavam is possible even for male, even for men. It's not that only gopis can have that. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, physically what he has exhibited in his pastime is this Madhurya form, isn't it? So just like the form, the mood of a mother, Madhur Bhavam, the mother's form, is present in everyone, not only in the female body but in the male body as well. That nature of a motherly feeling, it is present there in everyone. So there, similarly, this relationship with Krishna as the conjugal relationship is present in everyone, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown that in his relationship. Once that happens, false ego will leave him from that person. So that is what Gopis mentions here. Kastrengade kalapadayada murchidena samohidaya charidana chale trilokyam trilokya saubhagamidam janirikshe rupam yad godhi jadrumalada pulaganu bibhran, he says here. Kastriyanga kalapadayada murchidena. Anybody who has heard the sound of your flute, samohidaya, they will get attracted by that. And by hearing this flute sound, and they will give up everything and come here. Samohidaya, Aryacharidana chalet trilokyam. Aryacharidana means that they will give up their best traditions. They will give up their best traditions. In other words, what does it mean here? That they have given up their traditions, isn't it, gopis? They were supposed to look after their children and the husband at home. They gave it up. In other words, all their karmanushtanam, that means their responsibilities at home, the duties they were doing at home, that was all over at that point, and that left them, and they have started moving in another world. Another anubhuti has come to him, and now they are unable to do anything. That's what gopis are saying. And they have come to a stage, they can't remember anything. And it has happened to many, many people. When they start sitting down when they come to that state, they cannot execute any more activities of this world. We mentioned that before also, that many, many great personalities have been stuck in that state. They could not continue with their activities of this world. That Chandrasekhar Bharati's story we mentioned, that when he has taken the flowers to offer it to the deity, to Sharada, he forgets. And he continues with his chanting the same mantra repeatedly, unable to stop and switch on to the next mantra. He is unable to do that. Because Rahastarpita Arpinaya Nama, when he started chanting from Vedasasranama, he chants the mantra and then he stuck there, seeing the beauty of Sharada there in that. So at that one particular plane or one particular phase, everything is forgotten. And sometimes devotees, they completely lose their external consciousness and they start dancing. And sometimes, not knowing, when they start dancing, some other people who do not understand that, they lock him up, thinking that something has gone wrong with him. It has happened to Chandrasekhar Bharati that he has started dancing in his ecstasy. And the other personalities in the mud thought that our Acharya has lost his control. He is doing all sorts of things like this. But unfortunately, they could not understand him. And he was in that particular state. He was dancing and enjoying that, lost completely the consciousness of the body. So, Sharira Prajna has lost. In other words, bodily identification of the body has gone. What can be done? So gopis are saying also the same thing, that you are actually caught us by hearing about the flute. This has happened to us. And that beauty which attracts all the three worlds, after seeing that niriksha, he says, trilokya saubhagam idam cha niriksha rupam. That form, Krishna's form, which attracts everyone in all the three worlds. Trilokya saubhagamidam cha niriksha rupam. Yad go dvija drumaletha pulaganya vibhran. He says here that even the cows, the trees, the plants, all of them, they have become, they are also experiencing your beauty. Even they have become transformed by seeing your beauty. Gopis are saying that. That yad go dvija drumaletha pulaganya vibhran. They are also feeling that ecstasy. The trees and the plants and creepers, All of them are feeling the ecstasy by seeing your beauty. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. So, the animals, the birds, the beasts, all of them, that they are standing there in the samadhi state. Samadhi state means, you will see this because in the rasa dance, that is what happened. The whole, everything came to a standstill. Why? Because of Krishna's beauty, seeing that beautiful form of Krishna, animals could not move anywhere. They are standing there and looking at Krishna. The birds, they were looking at Krishna. All the plants and the trees, they were affected by Krishna's beauty. And even they were looking at Krishna. So not only that, they say the river stopped flowing. They couldn't flow anymore. They were stuck there. And anything in this material world, which is made of five material elements, all of them, they were feeling the ecstasy. They were feeling that ecstatic feeling. If it is like that, is there anything wrong with us? If it has happened to us also, is there any wonder? The gopis are saying to Krishna. Where after observing the nature, and the gopis are saying to Krishna, the change what has happened in the prakriti, in the nature. After seeing your beauty, even the birds, animals, and the plants, creepers, trees, everything, they all have been, they are standing in ecstatic mood, and they are looking at you, seeing your beauty. And they have been affected. And it is like that, if this has happened to us in this way, why do you say, is there anything wrong with that? That was the gopi's question. Godhujadrumalatam, he says there. Vyaktam bhavan vrajamayarti hari obijado devo yadhadi purusha suraloka gopta tanno nidehi karapanga jamartha bando taptastani eshu cha shirasu cha kingarinam. So, earlier we have seen that devo yadhadi purusha suraloka gopta, when demigods have problems in their world, Krishna goes there and helps them to kill all the demons. Krishna has done that many, many times. And that we have spoken before. And this Prajabhumi in Vrindavanam also, we are wandering around here, and there is only one distress what we have here. And if that distress goes away and Krishna accepts us, only then we will come out of this distress here. Gopis are saying here. Gopi says to Krishna that somehow or the other, if you appear in our heart at this moment, says here, Vrajamayarti haro obijado, Vyaktam bhavan vrajamayarti haro obijado, Devo yadhadi purusha suraloga goptaha. Then you have come here and you have appeared in middle of us. And with this beauty you have captivated us. But now you should appear inside us, in our heart, and take care of us. Otherwise, we will be lost here. Gopis are saying finally to them. So all our distress has to go. Krishna has to appear within the heart. Vrajabhayarti haro abhijadom. Therefore, gopis are saying to Krishna, give us diksha. Give us initiated. Hasta diksha. They are saying there, taptastaneshu shicha shirasucha kingarinam. Give us initiations, they are saying here. Gopis are saying to Krishna that completely absorbed in Krishna's form, they are staying there. And you will see there that whole verse is, they are talking to Krishna, but actually addressing us. And if it continues like this, gopis are addressing to Krishna and asking for rasam, rasa dance, isn't it? So what does it say then? Parabhakti state, Kabir also mentions this, that what should be given, that everyone is asked for parabhakti. Parabhakti is that rasam, isn't it? So gopis are standing in front of Krishna and begging for this rasam. And then the rasa anibhavam, experience of that rasam, isn't it? Rasa lila is that experience of that rasam. Kabir says about that once he mentions that he made an advertisement that many people were coming to see Kabir. So Kabir made an advertisement that he sent his son and made an advertisement. Those of us who want parabhakti, they can come tomorrow. It will be given. He made an advertisement like that. So that day, many people came to Kabir's house. Many people came to Kabir's house. When they came there, they were told that Parabhakti will be given. And when Kabir initially, to sell this Parabhakti, he wandered around all the streets. People were not interested in chanting the holy name. So Kabir took this approach. Kabir said, when he was talking about bhakti, many devotees who are listening, they were heard about this thing called Parabhakti. Bhakti beyond, after self-realization, Parabhakti. Kabir was talking about that, and people thought, this is something nice to have, this Parabhakti. So when Kabir was going around trying to sell Parabhakti, somebody asked Kabir, what, how much it costs, this Parabhakti? So Kabir said, it just cost, all you have to do, it costs your head, that's all. To give your head and you will get Parabhakti, he said. So like this, he said, so everybody came, people thought it's a joke, so they came to Kabir's house to get Parabhakti. At that time, Kabir's son said, I will stand outside with a knife. And I'll tell whoever wants Parabhakti, I'll cut their head off and send them in. You can give him Parabhakti to him, he said. Kamal was his name, Kabir's son, says to him. So they decided like this, I'll cut their throat and take their head off and I'll send them in. And then you can give them Parabhakti. So a lot of people came, but when Kamal, Kabir's son, announced this, how he is going to give Parabhakti to them, what he have to pay for that, most of the people, almost all of the people who had come, they left. Nobody stayed there. So they say, we'll come some other time, they said. And went away. So when, what is in, ultimately one person said that I'm willing to give the head. And that is to indicate to us, Kabir says there about that. He says that unless one is willing to hand over himself to Krishna, Parabhakti is not possible. Only then complete experience of Krishna is possible. And but the false ego inside, in Jiva, it will not allow the person to do that. Allow the person to do that. At that time, various reasons and justifications, the Jiva will bring it up. So therefore, gopis are saying to Krishna that, therefore, tanno nidehi parapangajam arkabandho taptasthaneshu cha shirasu cha kingarinam. Therefore, please bless us. Put your hands on top and bless us on our breast and tell us that you will bless us with that Parabhakti. Parabhakti. And blessing, asking for rasa dance. That is Sri Shuka Vacha. Next verse. Ida viklamidam tasam shutva yogeshwareshwara prakasya sadayam gobi atmaramo pyariramat. Atmaramo pyariramat. Krishna is Atmaraman. Atmarama means what? One who is absorbed in the soul. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a famous verse. Atma ramascha munayo nirgrandha vivrukrame kurvandi ahaidugim bhaktim itham bodhaguno hari. In the third canto, you will see that verse on which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very extended commentary on that. There you will see this word Atmaraman. Atmarama means one for whom the false ego has completely gone away. There is no more a trace of false ego. Completely absorbed in the soul and enjoying the soul or the bliss of the soul, one who is experiencing, he is called Atmarama. All the great sages are Atmaramas. That's what it says there. Atmaramascha munayo. Muni or sages, they have Atmaramas. Nirgrandhi abhi urukrame. This grandhi inside, grandhi means the gland or the knot or bond inside, and that is the ahankaram, false ego. The false ego, when it gets completely killed, wiped out, destroyed inside, nirgrandhi abhi urukrame kurvandi. What they do? Towards urukrama. Urukrama is Krishna. What do they do? Kurukramam kurvandi ahaitukim bhakti. They execute bhakti towards Krishna. They execute bhakti towards Krishna. Itham bhudaguno hari. Itham bhudaguno hari. So, in that verse, Atmaramaschamaneyo nagrandha vivikrame kurvandi ahaitukim bhaktim itham bhudaguno hari. How? After hearing about the transcendental qualities of Krishna, transcendental nature of Krishna, In the devotee's language, transcendental qualities of Krishna. In Jnani's language, attracted by the blissful nature of the soul. There is no difference in all these things. It is spoken in two different ways. For a Jnani, it is the blissful nature of the soul, he is Atmarama. Therefore, he is Atmarama. For a devotee who is attracted by the transcendental qualities and transcendental beauty of Krishna, he is Atmarama. Both are Atmaramas. Both Jnanis and the devotees, both are Atmaramas. But Atmaramatvam happens in two different ways. Jnani is attracted by the blissful nature of the soul and he goes in that route, whereas the devotee gets attracted to the transcendental uttam bodhavano, transcendental qualities of Krishna. He gets attracted and he becomes Atmarama in that way. So Atmarama is that state where there is no false ego inside, completely surrendered to Krishna, attracted by the beauty of the soul, attracted by the beauty of Krishna. So here you will see that Atmarama Krishna, that they wanted to enjoy with Krishna. And that is in the next verse you will see. Tabhi sametha viruda arachashtidam priyekshana amphulla mukhi birachyuda udarahasad vijakunda dhidhidhir virojaya nanga ivodu bhirvrutaham. Then, just like the stars are shining in the sky, and the moon is present there in the middle of all of them, he says, Ubagiyamana mudgayan vanidashata yodhava malam vibrat vajayandim vajaranmandayanvanam. That so many in the banks of the river, Yamuna river, that wearing this Vaijayanti mala, Krishna was singing with them, Krishna was dancing with them there. And hundreds of gopis were around Krishna. Exactly like a full moon, which when it moves around in the sky, all the stars who are accompanying that moon, how they look, so they all appeared in that way. And Nadya Pulinama Vishya Gobi Irhima Gobi Birhima Valugam Remira Tarala Anandam Kumudamoda Vayuna Bahya Prasara Parirambakara Alagoru Nivistanalabana Narma Nakagravade Kshelyavaloga Hasade Raja Sundarinam Uttambhayan Radipadim Ramayam Chakaram. Then Evam Bhagavata Krishna Labdhamana Maha Almana Almanam Enire Srena Maninyo Bhadigam Bhuvi Tasam tan saubhagamadam vikshyam anamja keshava prashamaya prasandaya tatraivandaradhiyatam. That so at this point rasam jiva is experiencing, gopis are the jivas, they are experiencing rasam, they are experiencing rasam in Krishna's association. Krishna has given the rasam to them, and that rasam or experience of Krishna is happening to them at different stages. So due to excessive renunciation and detachment from this world, sometimes for a very small period of time this experience can happen. But again, along with that experience, our false ego will again wake up sometimes. That is what is happening here. You see, gopis have surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? Gopis have surrendered to Krishna. Their false ego has completely gone away from them. False ego has completely gone away from them. And they were experiencing that rasam, what is mentioned in the rasam, the word. That experience of rasam is happening to the gopis. But the problem here is gopis' case, what has happened is, for a short period of time, that experience lasted. Experience lasted for a short period of time. You can always see this in one's own life. Sometimes you will see that you have become Krishna conscious. That is where the problem starts, isn't it? You see, you become feeling Krishna conscious. Sometimes devotees say like that, I felt very Krishna conscious at that time. The very next moment, false ego will be back. False ego will be, it will completely, in 1 second, the whole thing has gone. The Krishna conscious feeling what you had at that time, that by chanting the Krishna's holy name, or surrendering to Krishna, sharing Srimad Bhagavatam, in various ways it can happen, in Salsangam and all that. Our false ego quietens down. It goes away, it disappears somewhere. False ego disappears somewhere. When we hear the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we absorb that, the false ego disappears. But immediately you will notice, as soon as you get up, he comes back from somewhere, uninvited. He is back again, and that has happened to gopis also. Gopis have surrendered to Krishna. Krishna has started the rasam dance with them, and gopis were experiencing the rasam, and right in the middle, the false ego come back to them again. That is what is mentioned here. That in the Bhagavad Gita it mentioned tasam tan saubhagamadam. When Krishna started dancing with them, and this rasa dance was going on, gopi started feeling, we are somebody very special. That is it. Everything is over with that. Tasam tan saubhagamadam vichyamanam cha keshava. Krishna noticed this change in the gopis. They noticed this. Krishna noticed this change that is happening in the gopis. And what did he do? Prashamaya prasadaya tatraivandaradhiyata. That immediately Krishna disappeared from there. Prashamaya prasadaya tatraivandaradhiyata. So what has happened here is that you will see, just like when the milk ocean was churned, and they received the nectar, isn't it? When they received the nectar, the demons stole the nectar and went away with the nectar. And then Krishna had to appear as Mohini Murti and to get the nectar back from them to hand it over to the demigods. You know that story in the 8th canto, the famous story, why churning of the milk ocean, at that time the nectar came out from the milk ocean. And that nectar was immediately stolen by the, when the nectar came out, the demons, they didn't want to share that with the demigods. So they stole it and ran away from there. Krishna appeared as Mohini Murti, and through that beauty, Krishna took away the heart of the demons and managed to get the pot of nectar back and served all the devotees, all the demigods with the nectar. That story is there. So, similarly, if we have even a slight trace of that demoniac vasana inside, that demoniac vasana will come into bhakti also. This is another thing. If there is a slight trace of that demoniac vasana inside us, in our bhakti also, that demoniac vasana will come. It will come into our knowledge also. In jnanam also, it will come. In yogam also, it will come. Whether you are following any process of yoga system, whether it is bhakti margam, jnana margam or yoga margam, irrespective of what yoga margam, what process you are following, which path you are following, even if there is a slight trace of asuri vasana inside, demonic vasana inside, that will pop up in bhakti or in jnanam or in yogam. That's how it is. You can see here, these great devotees, gopis, they are completely surrendered to Krishna. But in spite of all that, it shows that there was some trace of asuravasana inside. That is why that ego had come back again. And because here what has happened in Gopi's case, that asuri vasana has come and they started thinking that Krishna is under our control. Krishna is under our, he is dancing with us. He loves us so much, he cannot leave us and go. This thought came up to them. That is what it mentions here. Prashamaya prasadaya tatraiva andaradhiyata. Prashamaya prasadaya. Why? Tasam tat saubhagamadam vichyamanam cha keshava. Vichyamanam cha keshava. What is saubhagamadam? What is saubhagamadam? Saubhagamadam is this. The gopis felt that we are very beautiful. Why? Krishna is with us now. Krishna cannot leave us. Krishna is completely under our control now. That is called saubhagamadam. So, tasam tat saubhagamadam, seeing that vikshamanam cha keshava, Krishna saw that this ego has developed in the, this false pride has come to gopi's heart. So, as soon as this happened, prashamaya prasadaya tatraiva andaradhiyada, Krishna has gone. No more there, Krishna there anymore. So, saubhagamadam means the madam or ego or pride due to the beauty in them. So, in other words, what was their ego? I've got Krishna now. That was their ego. That manam. That is what manam yuksha manam cha keshava. That we have got Krishna now. That manam. And Krishna immediately disappeared from there. You will see this. This manam is our first problem in life, isn't it? Always feeling false pride. False pride. You will see devotees' qualities are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. What's the first one? Amanitvam. That manam. Amanitvam. So when we lose that manam or pride inside, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam. Various qualities spoken there, isn't it? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam, ajaryopasanam, shaujam, stairyam, alpaminigaha, indriyarteshu vairagyam, anahangaram evaja, janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukha, doshanu, darshanam, asakta, anabhishvanga, putradhara, griha, adishu, Nityanja samajitattvam ishtan ishtobhavattishu Maijananya yogena bhakti avyabhijarini Vivikta desha sevitvam aradir janasamsati Adhyalpanyana nityatvam tattvajnanartha darshanam Edal jnanam iti proktam ajnanam tadananyatha. There is a few verses in the 13th or 14th chapter where it is spoken so many qualities, transcendental qualities required in order to cultivate spiritual knowledge. Out of all of them, the first one is amanitvam, freedom from pride, freedom from pride. And in Gopi's case, what was the first problem itself was that, manam. One who don't have manam is amanam, amanitvam. Amanitvam means one who doesn't have the pride. So here, tasam dat saubhagamadam vichya manam cha keshava. Keshava noticed, Krishna noticed this, what? Saubhagamadam. And that pride from that, manam from that. Then, prashamaya prasadayam tatraivam daradiyadam. So, when they started linking that, there Krishna decided that it has to be brought down. That manam has to be prashamaya. It has to be brought under control. And decided prasadaya and wanted to bless them. Not to have that, because there was some trace of that inside. And it will come, whether you are following the process of bhakti or jnanam or yogam, it will come in and you will start playing problems, creating problems. So that is what has happened there. And in order to do that, and Krishna decided that, because even if it is trace of that remains inside, that it is problem, because it will come up and create difficulties later. And Krishna decided like that, and therefore to completely wipe out their false ego, or in other words, completely destroy their personality, individuality in other sense. That false ego, jivatvam, jivabhavam, everything from inside. That and bless them with the complete experience of the absolute nature of the pure nature of the Krishna consciousness. That four purpose, tatraivandaradhiyatam. So that experience gopis were having at that time in association with Krishna had completely gone. Immediately it left them. So gopis left at that point. So many people know these things. Now when we are talking about, so in our adhyalpam or in spiritual life also, in our anubhuti mandalam, in spiritual life, what is known as anubhuti mandalam? Anubhuti mandalam means in our realizations, you can say. You know, this appearing and disappearing, this will always be there. It will always happen. Sometimes you will feel good when it appears, but when it disappears also you will feel bad. You will feel that you are feeling under the strongly the pressure of the lower modes of nature. In Sattvagunam sometimes you will experience that happiness also. In a surrendered state, how you feel happy in Krishna's surrender to Krishna. So when we are talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, that all this Krishna appearing and disappearing, everything, you may think in the story form it is spoken like that, but those who have executed sadhana, one who has executed bhakti sadhana process for a long period of time or performed bhajana, they know that sometimes people say like this, for a few days I felt very good, then everything has gone. They say sometimes, isn't it? For a few days when you continuously hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you feel very peaceful inside. Is it not? Yes or no? You feel a satisfaction inside, isn't it? You feel peaceful inside. You don't feel that you have come out of that material world or material whatever you want to call it. From that prakriti, when you withdraw yourself from that, and absorbed in Bhagavatam for a few days, you feel a different altogether. Especially if you do it regularly, for continuously throughout the day, for many days together, suddenly you will realize it, that all I was carrying so much garbage on my mind and the brain, and I was suffering from that. What is in this life? When you hear about Krishna, all that goes away from inside, and you create what is known as anubhuti. But when you leave all these things and goes back to that again, how you feel at that time? How you feel about that? Everything goes away, and straight away, this coming and going, they know about that. Everything has gone dried up. Everything dried up, and there is no anubhuti. And if you ask that, I have to pay this bill, you are running to this bank, that bank, running here, running there, everything starts again. So this is quite usual in spiritual life also. You will fall, then you will get up. You will fall, then you will get up again. So this coming and going will continuously. This state where you do not come and go, permanently situated in that state of consciousness, that is what Krishna is talking about, nityarasam. Nityarasam means that perfectional state. And in order to have that nityarasam, Krishna has to come and destroy our personality inside, or that false ego inside, and all that individuality or personality, it has to be completely go from inside. Only then that nityarasam or permanent rasam, rasa dance will happen inside. That is what it mentions here. So up to that point, these things will come and give us trouble. So, but once you have reached that stage, then it is Krishna's responsibility to get us out all the other unwanted anarthas inside. Because Krishna knows better, a devotee has come to the stage, or is continuing his sadhana process, and often he is experiencing some happiness in spiritual life, and quite often he falls from that. He goes away from there for a while, and then suddenly comes back to it again. So this coming, going is a constant feature of this spiritual life. You see? Spiritual life. But at a particular time, when Krishna sees that, that particular false ego in a person is actually causing that problem, Krishna does something in such a way that ego or individuality or pride, everything gets destroyed, and that is the stage of nityarasam. So, little by little, Krishna has to take us in this way. Krishna does it that way, not in one step. The reason is that Krishna knows very well that just like we have accumulated so many durvasanas inside, isn't it? Karma vasanas inside. That won't go away overnight, because it took a long time to develop like this. Similarly, it takes a long time to wipe it out also from inside. So every time when Krishna gives us any distress in any form or any problems, you have to remember that it is only a medicine for rectifying that false ego inside. And that is what Krishna does. Krishna hits you at somewhere where you can't manage it. You can't do anything. And that way it will touch your false ego at some point. And in this way, Krishna makes the jiva, changes its jiva ahanda. Jiva ahanda means the false pride of the jiva. And Krishna tries to make the devotee his own personality. And therefore, Krishna disappeared here for this reason from front of the gopis. And normally it is difficult to express that. How a many experience of this. Vilumangalam talks about it. How Krishna disappeared in several times from him, in front of him. Vilumangalam wandered around crying for Krishna. He missed that association with Krishna. Krishna told him that, I will not appear in front of you. You may have to wait for a long time. To Sridharada Maharshi, Krishna told the same thing, isn't it? That after he had Krishna's vision, then he disappeared and told Narada Muni, in this whole lifetime, you won't see me again. You won't see me again. You may have to come in. From that day onwards, Sridharada Maharshi was waiting when the death will come. He was waiting for that. Similarly, you can see here, that it is difficult to understand that distress. Only a devotee can understand that distress. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, when Sita Devi and Ramachandra were together in the forest, and when Sita Devi was separated from Ramachandra by Ravana, at that time Ramachandra is crying due to separation. So Gurudev Goswami says there at that time, evaluating Ramachandra, if you develop attachment, you have to cry. If it is Ramachandra, it doesn't matter. It applies to him as well. That is Gurudev Goswami's words in the Bhagavatam about that. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you will have to, if there is Sangam, you will have to cry. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke like that. So, but in order to justify, only for that reason, for Sukadeva Goswami to write like that, Ramachandra has shown that he is crying. Actually, he was not crying. He has to act in that way, that to show to us that if there is Sangam, one has to cry. So, we'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.